Welcome, everybody. Lance, are you on the speakerphone?
Yes, I am, sir.
Hey, Vance and Jody. Vance, remind me to talk to you about another map error I just found.
Okay. I will do that. I'll make a note right here.
Then I won't forget. Paul, can we ask you to give the prayer?
Our kind of gracious Heavenly Father, we're grateful for this day. We're grateful that we've all gathered here and go over things of the ranch and ask that you be with us and pray that we could be good stewards of what that was given us. We say this humbly in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Okay, approval of October meeting minutes. There were some corrections that I wanted to make, or additions, I should say. And here are the additions for you, Linda. On the end of year budget discussion, if you can put down that we had discussed that we had $28,200 remaining in our account, and out of that, all but about $7,000 was forecasted to be spent. And out of the $7,000, we determined that it would go towards paying for the gravel in the pavilion, approximately $1,000. And the remaining $6,000 would be split in between finishing bulldozer work and reseeding.
Is reseeding the split? What you are is all that one category.
Out of the remaining 6,000, so about 3,000 would go to the bulldozer work and about 3,000 to the seeding.
Okay.
And we anticipated receiving approximately an additional $2,000. And so both of those could be increased to approximately $4,000 if those funds came in. And if you make me double check this again, it'll take another month.
Okay.
So is that good? So I would entertain a motion to approve the amended minutes.
I'll approve the amended minutes.
Okay. Kathy made a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Good job, Brent. All in favor?
Aye.
Voting was unanimous. Okay, we kind of have just Area 3, you know, the responsibilities as we kind of move things around a little bit. So any questions there? Linda, then Item 4, financial report.
You have with your papers there the balance sheet. The budget versus actual. You have it in here.
Okay.
I eliminated the zero.
Good deal. They're off.
Good.
So We're about 13,000 short on our income, and you can kind of see the variety of categories there that we anticipated. But just to mention, there's quite a split of a variety of items there, so. So do I have a bunch of reports there? Is that why I got a big stack? They're all the same thing, just multiple.
This is actually a summary report. I printed those off in case you prefer those rather than those that are itemized, because you're aging reports there.
Okay, any questions about the budget? One thing I would like to maybe mention is when we did our year-end budget before, we neglected to account for property taxes, which was about $7,000. So we're probably a little over budget if we do our seeding. And by the time we get Larry in Clarksville, we'll probably be, you know, dribbling on next year's assessments as they come in December. So I would say we have no money to spend at the moment. It looks like it's really going to be tight. Somehow I don't have a balance sheet in my stack. So anyway, we're kind of on the cusp. So I would say suck it in, tighten the belt, no more spending until we get into next year's budget on anything but essentials.
One of the things under the financial reporting is we don't receive any money from the Desert Foxes.
Send them an email and tell them to send it on.
I already have.
Send them another one.
Okay.
Next year, this time.
About how much do they owe?
I don't know what we ended up. What did
they want? They told us how many riders they had, and that was like $8 a rider.
I didn't get that information.
They sent it in that email. Some email I saw.
Yeah.
It was. They had about 130 riders. About 130 times 8, roughly, just off the top of my head.
Okay.
Plus they owed some cabin fees.
Right.
And so, and we made a concession on those.
We did.
So I would send them a letter saying we agreed to concede to your proposal, but we really need to collect these fees.
Okay.
ASAP.
Okay.
Any other concern about finances? Budget.
I don't know if you guys were aware, but did you get that bill for the Rhino? Is this in here?
No.
Okay.
I have one for tires for the new truck. That's what I received. Could you get the Rhino?
And there was one for the Rhino, which I'd said minor repairs, and it ended up being a lot more than just a little minor.
Who was doing that?
Littles.
How much was it?
It was $843. The caliper caught the brake thing on fire, which burned the wires and just kind of made a mess. The way the skid plate is on the bottom, it just kind of scoops up whatever and collects right there. And had ourselves a little fire.
Has a Rhino saved us much money on gas?
Yes.
Saved a huge amount of money on gas. That, that ranch truck, that old ranch truck, got about 8 miles a gallon. So literally, you'd use a gallon and a half of gas going to the upper cabins and back. You know, I mean, that adds up. And plus, you know, round trip to town and take the trash trailer around and we don't use the Rhino for that. They're running around the ranch. The Rhino said they shoot a huge amount of money.
Okay, not good. So anyway, I would say just let's really try to be very cautious because we're going to be...
I think with all our cabin supplies and everything we've already purchased, as far as things for the ranch, I think we're good till the first of the year.
Okay, item 5, prep for 2011 budget. Next month, we'll go over a budget for 2011. And so I would say to start giving Linda your inputs to a budget via email the next 2 weeks so that she can, in fact, let's put a date on that.
December 1st.
We need it probably sooner than that, so...
So should we use Thanksgiving or the deadline?
Yeah.
That's about, 10 days or so?
Thanksgiving. So what I'd like to see is that we give it to Linda by Thanksgiving, then it takes a few days and puts that into a new budget, sends it back to us all, so we can then have a draft to play around with for a week or two before the meeting.
Is this where we should talk about some ideas for income?
Yes.
Would that be at that time?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. I have several that are...
Budget should be both, you know, and if you have an idea for income, here's what you think the income would be and the costs associated with generating the income.
Okay.
Do we want to change the schedule of the December meeting to offer a couple more hours, or... Do you think you're going to need it? Or do you want to try to get most of the stuff ironed out via email before then?
I'd like to do our best to do that.
Okay.
I think there's going to be a lot of cross talk that will have to be done then, and I'd rather not save it for the meeting.
Okay.
Our next meeting should be December 11th, mm-hmm. or 10th, excuse me, 4 o'clock. So I'd like to come into to that meeting with kind of just nailed down to where we discuss and prioritize a few things.
Do you think if our cabin usage doubles next year, have we got to have additional expense for staff? For cleaning of cabins? And
I don't know.
Maybe we should clean them.
What?
The membership cleans them.
Yeah.
People are staying in them, clean them.
So we don't need anybody to maintain or clean the cabins.
I don't think so.
I
don't
think
so. Well, Paul, you would know.
Yeah.
You're the one doing it. Do you need any help?
No.
Just you're okay with managing the general maintenance of the cabins?
Yeah.
Okay.
The only time they need to do a major cleaning is if somebody leaves a mess behind, and that happens probably 3% of the time.
Once or twice a year, maybe.
Well, I think it's a little bit more than that, but yeah, it's not very often. For the most part, the membership cleans it for the next people that are coming in. So,
who cleans it in the springtime, though? There's a major... Nancy does the whole thing.
Sure.
And actually, my mom comes, and we kind of like make a big family deal out of it.
Okay, because that's a major, get rid of the cobwebs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Turn the water on, make sure there's no leaks, clean it out.
Okay.
Did you give me a date for when you want this budget, the budget items in budget form sent back to you? Did you give me a date on that?
Well, let's just say that we've got everything in to you by November 24th,
mm-hmm.
and that you'd have us back to us by November 30th. Is that enough time?
Okay. I was thinking the 3rd of December. That's the Friday after.
Yeah, that's down to then just 1 week for us to review it without
November 30th.
Setting agenda then.
Okay.
Do you need then your inputs in sooner?
Do I know? I was just thinking Thanksgiving holiday.
Yeah, well,
that's okay. No, sir, you have to
be fine. Say, let's have the stuff to you by the 19th. How's that?
That's only a week.
I'm going to do it the day it's due.
Okay.
19th or the 24th, so.
Does that work for you, Bob?
You know what? So I'm like Dirk. I work better under pressure.
Never the pressure.
So you give me a day, and that's the day you'll get it.
So next Friday? Okay.
Yeah, okay, that'll work.
Okay.
And what's that date?
That's the 19th.
That's the 19th.
Oh, Michael's birthday.
I think it's more important we have some time to look at the rolled up ideas rather than. That's where we'll get some synergy.
Okay.
Any other budget discussions? We have, I think, talked via email that the fees will stay the same, so we can anticipate and authorize Linda to start preparing invoices for next year. We'll work within that revenue model. Does everybody agree to that?
Oh, totally. I see no need to increase.
Okay, Brent, roads and fire protection.
Okay, the new culverts that we got, Dale, you're out there a lot, and you travel around out there a lot, like I do. Mentally make notes where you think we could use. I know that there's several we could use on Meadow Canyon, you know, especially right down there by the Browns Homestead turnoff. We got a couple of bad spots there. But make some mental notes on that. I've been going around and, you know, making kind of a list of where I think that they ought to go. But, you know, I don't want to, you know, some places I might not get to that somebody thinks is critically bad and, you know, some of the dead end ones and that. But
it's pretty good right now where we've had some good rains. There's, I know up Meadow Canyon Road, there's three spots where we've got some erosion in the road
right. Because
of water.
Right, and we'll have to definitely do some work on that. Anyway, just Dale, if you do that when you're out there, anybody who's out there, just when you're driving around, take a look and see if there's somewhere you really think that we ought to, you know. Drop a culvert or whatever.
One right there at the entrance to the ranch.
Yeah, we got to replace that one. That one's kind of a gimme.
Yeah.
That one's plugged and you know, water's running right over the road there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, erosion control stuff, issues. The road between the cabins is getting worse to the point where we can't do much more ditching alongside the road. That's where we had that waterline repair. However, given the you know state our budget's in, I guess we can give it one more chime. You know, when Larry comes out, if we can get that road fixed with or at least the grader run over it, and try to pull some material out of that ditch.
Do we work? We just have one place where the water line crosses perpendicular.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, there's
about the top of the cut.
Right, and it comes right across, and then it heads right smack down into the.
How deep is the water line there?
The water line all along there is what, 4 feet at least?
Maybe 3.5, 4 feet.
Yeah.
So grading shouldn't really be much of an issue.
No. That shouldn't be an issue. I've thought about several times. I've thought about going over and actually. I hate to dig a ditch alongside the road because you dig a ditch and it just keeps getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. But right there, that thing fills in and then the water comes shooting across the road and then runs right through the headquarters. It runs through the headquarters, exposes our gas line. You know, we lose all that material. I don't know the history of it well enough to know, you know, if there was a way or before how the water was diverted over into that one catchment.
There used to be a ditch right across at the bottom of the hill.
Okay.
With a culvert under the road. so that it came actually around the mountain.
Right.
Through that culvert and on down into the Polywog Pond.
Okay.
Whether it can be stopped, you know, what comes down off the hill fast.
Right.
It's been just jumping over that ditch and going on into the corrals.
Right.
Whether it can be banked up enough to send it to the west.
You know, see, that's what, you know, ultimately that's what I'd really like to do there because, I mean, we're just, I mean, the headquarters, you get a pretty good rainstorm or you get really good runoff in the spring, and I mean, the headquarters is the bog, and it stays that way for a very long time.
So the ultimate, if we could do the ultimate, what would it be?
Well, basically, if we could get it to come down, and like Dale was saying, take and culvert it, so it runs back around and drops under the road and ends up in the Polywog Pond, would be the best.
I think if the road's built up, you'll have some decent-sized ditches. You know, right now, the road's been graded down so much, you just have to keep digging a deeper ditch, but then when you're grading the road, you start pulling up rocks like this.
Yeah, that's the problem there. It's kind of like my property. You know, you get down through the clay, and then you're in big rocks. I mean, you know, huge. And so there's not a lot, we don't have a lot of room to work with, but it's one of the areas that I would like to, next year, haul some gravel down to, you know, and actually build it up and fix it up and fix it right. So we fix it once and we don't keep, you know, it's not a continuous problem.
Well, you look at the driveway, the cabin's 9 and 10, the culvert's just sitting right there.
Yeah, they're a mess.
Yeah.
And so anyway, but we got these culverts and we ought to start putting them to, I mean, definitely putting them to use. And you know, we need to put them to use where they're going to do us the most good, upper and lower cabins.
Is that going to happen this fall or are we going to have to wait till spring?
Well, it all depends what Larry's schedule is and we just can't afford to spend any money really right now.
I kind of made a plan with the kids. If I graded, they start taking the boulders out.
Well, yeah, I know, but culverts, unless the kids want to dig those culverts in.
Well, yeah.
But anyway.
You should be able, like on that cabins 9 and 10, take that John Deere and blade it and cut a trench with that, I think, and then put the culvert in it and blade it back.
Yeah. It's a matter of getting it deep enough to where you could drive over it.
You should be able to get pretty darn deep with that grader.
Yeah.
We were talking last meeting about the volunteer help that we were going to get in exchange for water. Where does that start?
Oh, with the Wingate people. I don't know. Probably next year?
Well, are they done this season?
I think so, up north.
Okay, well, we need to start keeping track of things they could do.
Mm-hmm.
Could they dig up some of those culverts?
It's a mechanical thing.
Yeah, those culverts that are filled up and have to be pulled, those things weigh, you know, tons. And they need to be pulled, lifted, and shaken and see if we can clean them out. If not, we can just replace them.
Well, I've been trained now in the Clarkland method of installing culverts with a grader, and I think I could train on that technique.
Okay. Well, then we shall.
Sounds good.
Yes. Anyway, that's one thing. We got minor damage along the roads caused by the motorcycle race. One little piece has been fixed along Meadow Canyon, but there's Broad Hollow's got a spot, and when you're in communication with the Desert Fox people, tell them I'm not too happy about them driving over my property. They changed the route and then went right over the corner of my property. They did no damage, but I don't know why they went that way when they could have gone the other way. You know, and so...
Did they mark it that way?
They marked it that way, and I didn't check. You know, and I was home the whole day they were driving. I don't find them to be, you know, particularly obnoxious, the noise. You know, I used to race motorcycles, so I don't find it that bad. But I was having a problem with my well, and so I thought, I haven't even looked at my well in 2 years, so I thought, well, I'll go down there and figure out what's going on, and here's this big old stranger thing. It's not terribly bad, I just wish they would have told me about it. because I'd have picked a slightly different route for them. I wouldn't have cared if they'd gone through, just picked a slightly different route. Anyway, but we got some minor damage on the roads. It's really no big deal. We have those drainage issues along Meadow Canyon. We never did get, you know, I kept trying to communicate with and coordinate with Larry, and Larry, you know, Larry's been busy this last summer, so we never really got to a point where we could get together on that, on the Brown-Somerset Road. But on Johnny Brown, the I did give the Johnny Brown one more culvert out of that bunch of culverts that we got. They have a bog section there that you're going around. It's just right across from, what's his name? Bill Bees, property 23. No, was he? I think he has lot 22 or 23. I don't remember which.
19.
Anyway, whatever. There's a big bog right there. And so they took a culvert over there, and they're going to set it on the ground and then build up over it to get the water to run under the road. The snow removal, King County, I'm sure will be coming out this, you know, doing their normal snow removal thing. What are we going to do? I particularly think that snow removal up to the Broad Hollow turnoff worked pretty good for the snowmobile and stuff. Were you guys, Dale, planning on doing similar stuff this year, or what were you?
I really don't know.
Okay.
Don't have any plans right now.
Okay. It matters not to me.
Last year, it just went to Broad Hollow. The year before, it went all the way up to Meadow.
Right. I guess it will completely depend upon how much snow we get, you know, because you get to a point where you can't do, you know, turn around or, you know, get that snow, you know, the snow will only go so far up the road. The one thing we do have to do this year is, if we do any snow removal at all, we need to find some spots where we do some turnouts or some pullover spots. Because this last year I was driving in when that optometrist was out there snowmobiling with you guys, and he was coming out pulling his big trailer, enclosed snowmobile trailer, and I ended up having to back up over a mile down the trench, you know, to get to a point where he could get past me. So we ought to, if we're going to do that, we ought to give ourselves, you know, every so often do a little.
Yeah, about every quarter mile or something.
Yeah, it doesn't have to be fancy, just so two vehicles can get by each other.
Good plan.
Okay, and then the only other thing on that, any of the road stuff, is the, and I'm formally requesting that Kane County, I'd like a sign from them and a barricade that you can drive around. It simply says, no winter maintenance beyond this point, travel at your own risk.
So you don't have to pull everybody out.
Well, you know what? We're going to pull people out regardless. But the one thing about it is these people keep saying to us, I never saw a sign. You know, there's an impassable one wet sign there. But I think if they actually have to drive around a barricade that says, you know, no winter maintenance, travel at your own risk, it might turn a few
people. Where do you want that?
Wherever they decide they want
it. At the end of the oil.
at the end of Johnson Canyon. Wherever they decide they want to stop their winter snow removal, be it Deer Spring, or right there at Meadow Canyon, or be it out there at the Brinkerhoff turnoff, wherever they decide they're going to stop doing it. But I can tell you right now, we got to have something that requires people to actually drive around a barricade and a sign. And it needs to be in at least three different languages.
Can you...
it's a huge public safety issue.
Yeah. Somebody's going to die over there.
Can you send me an email to that effect that I can then forward on to the road department and get their approval?
Sure.
Last year they did put a sign up at the end of the property line.
They put right across from John Davis's. After the California people have got the vehicle stuck out there, they did put a sign up there that was in the road that actually required people to drive around it. But it wasn't until those three calibrations.
Well, I think they ought to make us a sign that's on a barricade that we put up for them.
That would be fine. I would be more. I'd do it myself. I have no problem. They don't have to drive out there.
Shouldn't it be down in Johnson Canyon? There's no reason for those people to drive out there 13 miles.
That would be fine. For me, it would be fine if it was there. To me, it would be absolutely fine if it was right there where they put it. That one, in the winter of 04-05,
mm-hmm.
where they put it right there at the end of Johnson, and it says, you know, no winter maintenance beyond this point. That would be fine.
And that may save damage on the road because those people get out there and get stuck.
That's very true. I was kind of thinking from a standpoint of maybe somebody would drive out there and go, hey, this is a nice spot. Maybe we could rent a cabin.
Well, and that happens.
That happens, yeah.
But anyway, no.
Well, I think the county's going to want to put it where they stop plowing. You know?
Yeah.
But anyway, I'll send you something, Dirk, so you have it, and we can formally, you know, For me, I look at it from my standpoint, and I'm being selfish about this thing. You know, we spend a great deal of time.
You know, if you want to put a more permanent sign right there at the, you know, there's a sign there already that says impassable when wet, but I think it's hard to say we're going to put a barricade sign in the middle of the road that we are expecting them to maintain for not just us, but other property owners out there. But, you know, they could certainly put a sign that's more than the impassable when wet sign or something that says something like open to local travel only or something like that.
Right. I'm no road sign guy. You know, they could probably come up with something, you know, that, you know, impassable when wet, this means you, or, you know.
Your life at danger to pass this
yeah.
way.
Yeah, it's kind of hard because, you know, the county's perspective is we're fighting for these roads to be open to the public.
Absolutely.
And I don't think we can say, well, the public just means Deer Springs. Even, you know, anybody who wants to go down there in the middle of the wintertime probably has as much right as anybody else. We just want to educate them. That, you know, we could even say road not maintained 12 miles ahead or something like that.
And see, that's the way I'm looking at it. I'm looking at it from a standpoint of, you can't legislate stupidity.
Yeah.
If they drive out there, they can say, you know, I just want them to be aware of the fact that, yeah, there was a sign there that says not maintained. Road is not maintained in the winter. Travel at your own risk, and or like you say, you know, road maintenance ends 12 miles down the road. You know, no through road to Canada, whatever.
That's right. That would be
good.
I
put a 5-foot snow bank and they drove around.
So, I mean, I don't know. Anyway, that's what I have on that stuff.
So what was the solution on that? You just want to make a formal request and let the
Let the county decide what they think would be the appropriate thing.
I think they know the liability and all and that whole thing on that.
They do, and King County they've treated us really well. And the one thing I want them to do is, you know, we're in a partnership with them to do the right thing, and I want them to, you know, decide, okay. Like you say, you know, we're not trying to limit anyone's access.
Well, they've been very happy. In discussions I've had with them, I don't think there's any objection to putting a barricade sign wherever they stop plowing snow.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there'd be objection to put a sign right at Johnson Canyon that said something to the effect of road not maintained 12 miles ahead or mm-hmm. something like that.
I'd be happy to put a post in, put the sign up, take it down in the spring, whatever yeah. they need, if that's the case. But, anyway, that's I'll shoot you an email and then, you know, you can shoot it to the road department and they can decide.
I misread your statement. I thought that they had put up a no winter maintenance road closed ahead. And you were wanting to get us get Deer Springs permission to go around it.
No.
A formal request from Deer Springs to the county, so we could drive.
Oh, that should be
formal request from DSR to Kane County for a drive-around barricade.
For a drive-around.
Yeah, for I couldn't.
Yeah.
I hadn't seen one out there, and I didn't know. No. I didn't think that Paul would need to have a written permission from the county to drive around their sign that he can't get home.
No, no. It's supposed to say for a drive-around barricade with sign.
Okay.
Got it.
Hey, Grant?
Yeah.
Before we move off of roads and snow, do you need or want or can we afford to do anything about the drifting along the airstrip for you this winter?
The way it's set up now, where everything is graded down, and it's pretty much like it happens in North Dakota and Midwest, the snow will actually blow fairly effectively across everything. The place we're having terrible problems with is the end of the airstrip. That gets deep, and that limits our access to the 40,000-gallon tank. But the road, it's Meadow Canyon Road itself, the problem is fairly well solved with the berms cut down.
That was something that we did last year, Vance.
Yeah, I remember that it was sort of an experiment, and it seemed to work. I just hadn't heard any further discussion about whether we needed to just extend it a little bit or just live with it or what.
No, it's actually a whole lot better than it was the year before. So, and if last winter was any indication, it works good.
Last winter should have been a real good test.
Yeah.
That one corner up at the end.
We have the one corner up at the end, and then the whole north end over to the 40,000-gallon tank. That's the problem.
Okay, any other things in Item 6, Brent?
No.
Ranch activities, Shauna? Anybody have anything here?
I would like to put something in this next newsletter for some activities coming up. You know, if we do get some snow, which I think we will, there's plenty of good sledding areas and places to bring snowmobiles and cross-country ski and things like that.
Vance has been crying for a letter for articles for the newsletter, so
I
send it on to him. I know you did. Send it on to him.
Go ahead. That sounds great, Paul.
Okay,
Dale, update on water issues.
Well, is everybody happy with item B?
The only question I've got about that, Dale, is that they did a really good job, and it looks great, but we're going to have a kind of a big bog right there. It's going to be a little lake just to the east, or the west of the tank. I was thinking about when I take my backhoe up to my place here as soon as we finish that PRV, I'm just digging a little trench over to so we can drain that. Is there a problem with that?
No problem.
I think that's good. I kind of like the fact that it now drains away from the tank instead of into the tank.
Yeah, we want that. I was just hoping that we, could even drain it further away.
Yeah.
But
it's going to be 15, 20 feet away.
Yeah.
From the tank.
Yeah. I think it's.
I was thinking of taking my grader up. I used to be able to drive in and drive around, but just kind of cut kind of like a V ditch. From the tank and the other side.
Yep.
Well, as long as we keep the drain, I just don't want that. You know, the water
settling water.
You know, just have a big. I mean, have a big bog there that gets wet and then.
You should be able to take the grader up there and finish, put the round turning around part back in because they left kind of a sharp drop there.
Right.
And,
mm-hmm.
and kind of make it so it gently grades out towards the metal. But Larry said that they didn't do anything with either end because the north end, he thought still needed to be hooked into the overflow tank somehow.
Yeah.
He said there was some kind of a flexible tubing there that looked like it had been used but it wasn't really hooked into anything.
That's our overflow that goes into our fire tank, and we've got to reestablish that.
Can we back up? I'm confused what we're talking about.
Item 8B.
8B. So this is the 40-gallon tank, so it has been burned. Is that what it is?
Yes.
It left an area that could bog?
Well, I'm not saying it's going to be a bog or not. I mean, everything, the drainage is perfect. It all drains away, just like it's supposed to.
Used to be you could park in an area, and where you could park now is going to be muddy.
But this is the result of it has been burned. And
yes.
That's
yeah.
the part
yes.
I missed.
Is it fully burned? Are we done?
Well, the ends
except for the ends.
And the ends aren't done.
Okay.
Are we going to bury those valves?
Well, Larry thinks that we should build a box around them so that we don't bury them like four-foot by four-foot by six-foot tall, thing that would slide up next to the tank so we could bury up foot. You'd have enough distance you could kind of walk into it.
I think both those ends could be left totally like they are, open, and have no freezing.
I think so, too.
No freezing at all.
The biggest thing last year was the draft under the tank.
Well, I think the freezing problem is solved. I think the pipes need to be taken care of until you get the valves.
Well, there's no exposed pipes. It's just that if we want to berm it some more, we would need to do something with the ends. And
along the north side, there would be an exposed pipe there.
So
it's just the drain. Yeah.
And there's no water in that drain, so.
Yeah. So do we want to watch it this winter and see if it, check it a few times and see if it stays ice-free?
I think there's enough dirt on both sides. On both sides, if I wanted to, I could probably hand shovel just some stuff down enough to get it down around next to the pipe, especially on the south end. But, you know, there's no gaps, there's no spaces for draft. And I think that's what happened last year was we had some real bad drafting going on.
Yeah, there's nothing going to be going on underneath that.
I'd recommend that B be finalized if you'll drain the low spot on the west side fine, but even that, I think, is not going to create.
Well, I don't think it needs to be anything major. I mean, I'd be even happy if it just, you know, water runs into that. That's fine. I'm just pointing it out that will be an issue. It's not going to be an issue for the tank. It's just going to.
Yeah. Has the valve been placed, number C? That is and finalized?
That's in, but the tank or the vault is not built. We have everything ready to put the vault in, and that's going to be, we're going to use those freezer insulated panels, and we're going to take those and we're going to paint them with the Henry's water seal on each side of them. We're going to put them the sides and the ends, and then as a lid for the vault. And then, because we don't anticipate having to get in there very often, we're going to bury it about a foot down, and then Paul's going to fence it to keep, you know, cows from walking over it or people from driving on.
So that's it's
nearly completed. Yeah.
And so reducing the pressures now.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it's in place and it's working fine. We don't have any leaks, right?
Zero leaks. I've been kind of adjusting that valve just because get too much pressure down. Not too much. Nothing's going off.
Right.
It's just really good pressure. Really good pressure.
You have a gauge to tell how much
pressure? No, I'm going to put one on there. The stuff that's on the side with the filter and everything, I can switch over to the other side. And when I switch it all over, I'm going to put a gauge on there just to see.
We need to switch it over to the other side for the vault purposes. Because if we didn't, we've got problems with the electric line. It runs right alongside it.
But it's in there and it's working.
Okay, good job. That's good.
Okay, the windmill location?
Okay, we tried to lift the windmill and put it back up, the one down by the gravel pit.
Slide Canyon.
Right. Anyway, it, while we were lifting it, the two footings on it that didn't pull out when it fell over, they pulled out when we lifted it because, you know, the ground's so wet and everything. Anyway, so while we were lifting it, then it also twisted, and so we were in this quandary of do we keep messing with this thing and pick it up and then have a bunch of bent legs, or do we just leave it lay? And so I talked to Paul, and we thought that because we're putting we have the solar pump already, we're going to put a solar pump in that. We're going to put a solar pump in that well anyway. That we take that windmill, load it on a trailer, take it over to the headquarters, and set it up over there. So it's not, because it wasn't going to be pumping there, and it belongs to Deer Springs anyway. And we take it down to the headquarters and put it as part of our display stuff. You know, anchor it in concrete, put it up, and
I think it really looked neat.
We gave it the old college try of everything we could possibly do to get that thing to come up without, you know, pulling those footings out, and they just popped right out of the ground. So I think it's because everything was we've had so much moisture there that it's just wet. Anyway, if you guys think that's a good idea, we'd like to get it loaded and get it over to the headquarters.
Dale, what do you think, being over to the Water Committee and all?
Well, and just let me throw this at you. I think if we bring it down to headquarters and set it up, it's not going to be a permanent structure. It can be, but if we need it somewhere down the road, there's a window.
It's not resting and getting destroyed down on the ground.
Right. We can always lay it down on a trailer and take it up to the meadow or somewhere.
It could be in the back of somebody else's pickup truck if we don't do something.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We did flip it over so the gears aren't in the ground.
But we would like to get it up and get it moved
before
winter. But we don't want it to sit there all winter down on the ground.
Okay, whatever.
Okay, sounds good.
You have an item here, irrigation management.
Yeah, I don't know if any of those headgates are going to freeze and damage them if we don't do something to...
You're talking about the headgate on the Half Moon or Red Reservoir?
Yeah.
I'd leave them exact. They're not going to freeze or hurt them at all.
Okay, good deal.
So they don't need anything. I thought on the irrigation, you might be talking again about irrigating 20 acres of alfalfa out of the existing wells.
No, so, and you can probably take those all off of the...
Which one?
Take all of that, 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 on the next page.
Well,
oh, okay.
They all need work. I wouldn't say we'd take them off. I think there's a lot of things up there that needs serious attention, and we continue to just sweep it under the carpet and ignore it.
Well, why don't we talk about each one of these and what could be done there?
I don't know whether Larry, he's kind of discouraged. I don't know that he's going to do any of the things, and whether we can hire somebody else or... it's not a big job of putting the headgate on the polywog pond.
So let's put these details in there.
Yeah.
And so headgate needs to be installed on the polywog pond.
I think the big question is who's going to do it? It did when the flush of water came down. It did open up the old culvert, so we know where it is now. We've looked at it, and the head gate is laying there that could be put on it. The Red Reservoir is fine. It needs the pipe supports that are laying there. The Half Moon Reservoir, the head gate should be stabilized by... probably a couple of big posts. The hidden reservoir, that catwalk, and the you know, building frame and stabilizing that head gate. I don't know of any water management that needs to be done at the fish ponds.
No, we got that one catchment fixed that they put in last year. Right.
Yep. Catchment is fixed over on the west side.
Is it fixed to the point where it won't happen again? Or is that, was that just kind of from a monsoon?
But no, I think those were put in talking with Clark with dry dirt and wasn't seasoned at all. This year they were compacted in with wet dirt, so they're a lot more stable and firm than they were then. It's still a mystery why that sending pond along the county road went out.
I could tell you. We had too much water all at once. When I came home from church that day, that thing was full, all the way up 5 foot down from the top.
We had three inches of rain in around 2 hours. I was there when it happened.
I have pictures of it going through the overflow. It was doing exactly what it was, but I think it just filled up way too fast. Too much water, too fast.
Well, that's what it looked like to me as you look at where it got, that it was, it evidently came as one flush.
Yeah. Yeah.
And hit that, and I'm so curious as to where it came from.
Oh, it came right down that drainage there. I mean, it wiped out Vance's dam that he had in, you know, for his water line to go through. It wiped that out. It took out, it filled Larry Meltzer's pond in, so it ran over his dike and didn't do any damage to that. But then it came down and just wiped Vance's, and there was considerable amount of material in Vance's. You know, I mean, it just all came down that drainage.
So there's quite a flush of water.
Oh, it was huge. It was 3 inches of rain in around 2 hours.
When Vance's went out, would that have caused the head of water to come on down?
You know, I think, I don't know. You know, Vance had some good size, he had two good size culverts in there. Are they 18 inches, Vance?
Hang on just a sec, I'll be right with you.
When you look over what happened at Vance's place, it's huge. It's huge. It's just like you can't even imagine that water could go down that little tiny place and do that.
Okay, I'm sorry. You got me in the middle of doing something else.
You have on your old dam that's now history. Was that two 18-inch culverts you had on there to take
that?
Okay. But you had two 18-inch culverts that were flowing water. I mean, they just through, and they wouldn't handle the flow coming down there. And then the actual one where that the drainage down at the headquarters went through, that storm just took out a section of his thing. The next storm took out his whole dike. But the one that did the damage down there ran through his culverts and then took out one small section of his dike. But it all came down that drainage.
But it appeared to me when we were analyzing it that for some reason the rain just hit heavy on that one drainage point. Is that what you guys think? And it could maybe never happen again like that. It's just where the rain fell that day.
There's different zones that the water comes down.
We had a foot of rain in that 1 week, and then we had a whole bunch on the upper half, but that was brought hollow on up. We had a whole bunch in the lower half, which was brought hollow on down. But all of that water ends up somewhere downstream. But that's what happened, Dale. That it all came down that drainage.
Well, now that we know where the culvert is going down the Pollywog Pond, we need to take the laser level up and find out the relationship of that culvert to the overflow.
Okay.
To the spillway.
Right.
And they need to be lowered. I don't know.
So, Paul, it was going out the spillway.
It was going out the spillway.
At a pretty good amount?
Yeah.
And
I think it could have been down, you know, another foot or two or maybe even more, but it was working. It was full of water, and it was kind of impressive to see.
I didn't catch what needs to be done on Red Reservoir. I have needs pipe support on, is that our head gate?
Yeah.
Okay.
Those two pipes are still there.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah, the pipes are there. Okay, more important thing to Jody Akers. Let me give you a little report on the well, field well. That was set up for 8 dwellings, and the 4 cabins and the garden cabin, the ranch house, and the store. We only need to survey in the well location if we tell the state engineer that the uses are not going to change. And if they are going to change, then we may have to redo the entire proof to say that the if we add anybody, and that was a concern that I had when I talked to the state engineer, if we tell them that we've got other people up by Vance's, there are one or two up there that have paid the fee to hook on.
There's three.
Three?
Yeah.
And even the water pickup station could be considered an expansion of the original program. And if we do, then we've got to do more work. Talking with Brad Bullock, who did the work on it several years ago, his dad did, has been the engineer, knows what they need. And if we decide to leave it as it was proved up on years ago, then it's going to be fairly simple.
Is that where legal work is that needs to be done?
Engineering, right up.
Engineering.
In fact, we don't know exactly what the state engineer would require.
Okay.
Changing some of the water rights. I think my recommendation would be to have Bullocks go ahead and do the locate the well and not say anything at this time about expanding the system. Now, what that may do later on, I thought that it was set up where we could have people come and haul water from there. But when I was talking with Clark Adams, the engineer, he indicated that if we did any expansion, that we would have to submit a lot more stuff. If Bullock Brothers does what they've asked us to do right now, to complete the proof, then 5 years from now or sometime we can address the rest of it as to what expansion we may want to do. So I think that, and the engineer said one of the things he needs to do, and he's talking about maybe coming over if you want him to, on Monday or Tuesday of this next week. One of the things they ask is to do a volume gallons per minute flow out of both those wells. Can you turn both the wells on?
No. The other one's down. It's off. Disconnected. And actually, the two valves, there's the one that goes to the culinary water and there's the other one that goes to the irrigation water. When we did our sanitary survey, they don't know about that other valve. That other valve shouldn't be there.
They don't know about that cross connect, right?
Right. That other valve should not be there.
It may cause us problems. Bullock said that they were told to test both the two wells to get a volume flow on both of them. And I said I would ask at the meeting today as to whether they, as a matter of flipping a switch, and so the pump would melt out the water so they could measure it.
Right. I'd have to look at it to see how that the irrigation well, how we get that going again.
It's not going to be. It's not a major big deal. But when we, if you know, the pumps will have, or they'll have to be tested independently, obviously, you know, because we don't.
No.
And then we are. There's a possibility that we will. You know, we're going to have to shut everything off so we don't, because we're going to have to use the one cross connection, the illegal cross connection, to pump that irrigation well.
Is the well still in there?
Is the pump still in there?
Is the pump still in there?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, and it pumps. I mean, I've seen it pump.
Okay.
And it hasn't been that long.
I haven't seen it pump since I've been here. So
that second well pump does work.
Yeah. Oh. Well, the last time it was tested, it did work, which was, you know, Alma. I know when Alma was out there, whatever it was, I know that it was working.
And this is the proof on the water, right? Is that?
No, this is. Jody Akers have been concerned that we had to do something before November of 2011. And so it's set up to do next week. And the state engineer has told the engineers to specifically locate both wells and to do a volume flow test on them.
Now we might be able to disconnect the irrigation well from that piping, the way, because in the generator set itself, and we might be able to relocate that and just pump it to the outside.
Yeah.
Have to look at it.
Should pump into a 50-gallon barrel.
Well, we can probably rig that up. Mm-hmm. I don't think that'll be, beyond the realm of possibility.
Too water.
Pipe.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Be sure and dig out the other pump controller, okay? The one I fixed.
Yeah. Right.
It's in the shop.
Use that to run the irrigation well, because 50-50 chance that thing is seized better than a dog.
The pump?
Yeah, it's been sitting there for years, not doing anything, and we don't want to wreck the other pump controller on it.
We should turn it by hand a bunch before we put it in there.
Well, it's a submersible. You can't.
Yeah, the pump's in the well. It hasn't been, but when we pumped the Half Moon reservoir or the Half Moon well, we stuck the generator on and pumped it. It's been about 6 years ago. That thing fired right up and pumped.
Yeah, I'm hoping that it does, but please don't blow our other controller on it.
Right. Well, we won't blow that. We'll use that repaired one, but we do have a spare pump when we had to remove the first pump we put in the domestic well, because it wasn't a pressure pump, and we had to replace it with a pressure pump. Well, we still have that pump.
Where is that?
Should be in the shop. Was there last time I looked at it? 50. It's a 100-gallon pump, but it's a 6-stage pump.
Right.
The one we put in there is a 12-stage pump. So. But it was there. In fact, I took it, and actually, Barbara Button had me try it. I actually tried to sell it on eBay. eBay had a 7-day, I didn't get any papers, no charge. And so we still have it. And last I knew, it was in the shop.
I'll have to look again. Might be in that corner.
It's probably over in that corner.
Well, I can talk further with the engineer and see if when they come out, they should do everything that they need to do.
Oh yeah, we don't want to have them come out. We only want them coming once.
And yet it should be done before snow flies. And so I'll talk with him.
Did you copy?
Do you have an idea what they'll cost, Dale, to...
I rebuild. I'll charge $100 an hour, whatever their regular engineer fee is.
Is this something we can do in the spring?
It could, but I'd like to see us go forward, but I just maybe ask them what they anticipate their bill would be.
Sorry, and what it is they intend to do exactly in writing if possible.
And we already have a quote from the other lady, Linda Day, with DNS Engineering for $700 approximately to do that, survey both the locations and take the flow readings and do a survey again to find where the wells are at if she comes in lower. And to reiterate on what Dale was saying, it doesn't expire until September of 2011, and even though we have the 8 domestic family uses on there, we're approved for up to 15 domestic growth connections on this, so I don't see where expanding this would come into play unless there's something else I don't know.
Well, that's the last DPR thing, Jody.
Okay.
The drinking water people.
Oh, you're right.
That's the record for DDR shows 15 connections. And Dale's on the right track. Let's just do what they're saying that we should do in the way that they say that we should do it, I guess, and let's get ourselves out of hot water.
Yeah, let's get it done.
But if the engineers can gather the data next week, then they can fiddle with paperwork all winter, which is fine.
Yeah. So I think that sounds good.
Okay. Do you want me, if it costs more than $700, to have Jody go ahead and have this other firm do it?
Well, that's what I said. Let's get something in writing. Let's apples to oranges, or apples to apples, as the case may be. Let's find out what exactly they need to do, what they want to do, what they propose to do.
I'm happy to just have even a verbal estimate from them. So we know.
Well, if your person is closer, it might be cheaper. So, start there. Start with the person that you know.
Yeah.
And find out what the estimate would be.
Right.
Go from there.
There's some value in working with somebody that we know is going to be able to come and service our needs and help design future systems and do things beyond just proving up.
Absolutely.
And so I wouldn't mind even paying these guys a little bit more. But I wouldn't want it to see it go over, say, $1,000, and hopefully they could do it for less than that. And like Van says, maybe they can doodle around for a month and give us a bill in January.
Well, I think, again, if it's a matter of somebody coming out and locating a well, and spending 3 or 4 hours, you could have the engineer here in town go do that. But I understand that's not going to satisfy the state engineer. And if Jody's engineers know that the wells have to be tested and the volume flow and some of the other things, I don't have a written list as to what the state required.
So Dale, did the state engineer or state engineer's deputy or whoever you talked to indicate that he'd be happier to see Bullitt do it?
No, he didn't recommend an engineer.
Okay. Well, you mentioned something about the guy in town, and I'm trying to figure out whether that's the same person. Bullitt's in Cedar, aren't they?
Yes.
Okay. So you got Theobald online possibly?
Well, Dirk has a good friend at Tebow's.
He works for Tebow Engineering. His name is Josh Beezer. And so he also has his credentials to do work on the side, and so it's a little bit less expensive if he does it through his private firm versus Tebow.
All right. All right. Well, look, if it gets us down the road and these guys are all within a few $100 of each other,
So I would say, Dale, either one you want to use, if it's
give the money to the local business if you can.
Absolutely. Keep us afloat. Good job.
So use your judgment there, Dale. I'd say come back to us if it's going to be over $1,000. So.
Okay.
Is that fair?
Okay.
Can we put a motion in to go ahead and approve that to get it done once he comes in with that bid, so we don't have to wait till next year, next board meeting, to get the funds approved, or do we not have funds?
Well, we don't need a motion to make this thing, but if you'd feel better about it, we can certainly do so. So I'll entertain a motion. I make a motion to approve Dale moving forward with the waterproof with the ability to go up to $1,000. And if it's higher than that, to come back to the board.
I'll second it.
Yay.
Okay.
All in favor?
Yeah.
Aye.
Can I vote?
Are you?
Yeah. Are you going to vote? Wait,
yeah.
Oh, you might. You're fine.
Get your.
All of,
something I can't vote.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any who oppose? Motion carries.
Hey, what do you need from me on Monday, Tuesday?
I don't know yet. I'll call you. Bad and find out.
Okay, moving right along.
Before we go along, I need a little clarification here. Dale, you mentioned everything that was needed on these first four water management things, but is there anything going to be done about it? You didn't say anything about being it done. You said it all needs to be done. Who's going to, what do we want to do about those? They sound like they're important.
Isn't.
So we just left it hanging. What do we do?
Who will do it?
Who can we get? Do we need to be together to do it? Do we need a committee? What? How would this be handled?
A lot of these things are done by ranch managers.
Okay, so Paul needs to do these? Is that what you're saying?
That usually is what happens.
Okay. Can you do these, Paul?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so these...
No.
Am I
going to
dig out for a head gate?
I don't know.
With a shovel?
I don't know.
Need some equipment.
I don't know.
Okay. So this is where it comes to you then?
Yeah.
With your compadres or whatever we can get you.
I would say this, Paul. It would be really helpful for you to move the project forward to the point where you can't do it without assistance.
Right.
And at that point then say, hey, I'm going to need a backhoe for a day.
Mm-hmm.
Or I'm going to need, something help, but I think to move the project forward to the point where you need assistance, you know, you can gather the materials and do a lot of the legal work so that maybe we could come up on a Saturday and help your.
So we decide what we need and what's necessary.
Yeah, I'd say,
okay.
Paul, why don't you take those assignments and. See how it's going. David Turley is trying to call in.
Did you knock out the right number?
I wouldn't know. I just know he's trying to call in.
You want to have him call me and I can help you through? Or help him?
This will be that's on speakerphone. So, good, Kathy. I appreciate you.
Okay. What number are you calling me?
I was trying to call
there,
but what is the number that I need to call for
this? Okay, the number you need to call is 712.
Any other water issues?
I don't know. I think the main thing, well, yes, there is.
310.
Dirk, if the upper system is checked, I still maintain that it's illegal and that we're way over the use factor. And that it should be made a public system according to the state requirements. If that's the case, I'm not sure that system will qualify. The other possibility that we've looked at is to take one of those nice big springs in the middle and get it proved up so that it is qualified for culinary water. I've had Jim Engineering up there, and they have looked at it and done a report on it. And you should take and read the report. I just got in the email today. here's the thing for the well field done by Sioux Finsticks. Here's the one by Jim Engineering on the spring area as to what he thinks would make that usable. This then needs to go to the state of Utah and see what they'll approve it.
What's wrong with the water coming out of the spring? Other than the collection.
You can't put it into a pipeline and let people drink it. And if we have no approved system for the upper cabins, then the upper cabins can't be used.
We think that it is approved, so... Right, Paul?
Yeah, well, I mean,
according to the state, it is an approved system right now. Maybe there are some things with it that there...
The state says it is approved?
It is not. It is not a state-approved system. They recognize it as a system up at Deer Springs, and when we send our water samples in, it goes in as... investigative.
Yeah, investigative for sample.
There has been, and I don't know why. I got this today saying that we didn't send a sample for the upper system, but a routine sample. I'm not supposed to send a routine sample. I'm supposed to send an investigative sample, but somehow I don't know what's been going on with the state water deal, but they're starting to recognize it as their water system. I think the water that comes out of there has been tested every month, every year since I've been up there, and it's come back fine. I think maybe getting a spring collection box and another tank or certifying that tank would do the trick as far as getting it certified through the state.
Right.
I don't know about collecting water from another
source. Well, let me back up a little bit. I think we've got a whole gamut of issues, but to simplify things, we approved in last board meeting or the meeting before have Dale move forward with an analysis and a proposal. And that's what this is. That was done to strengthen the upper cabin system, but also to allow water systems to some of the other lots around there. And
we're getting an echo on your phone.
And have a water system in the...
Is that better?
Yeah.
Have a water connection there in the meadow that we could have for water hauling and other things. So there were reasons other than just the fear of the existing system that we wanted to have the investigative report done. So you now have that report, and so I think we should email it to everybody, and we should look at it or copy and hand it out to everybody. Did it have any
invalid option?
Sorry.
Did it have any kind of budget with it, Dale?
No.
Are they able to do an engineer's estimate?
I talked to him about doing an engineer's estimate, but I do not have it.
But you do anticipate them getting that?
I want to see what it looked like before we encourage him to do anything more. I really think that this is elementary and probably is going to need to have some more work done on it, because I don't know that the state engineer, I don't know that there's enough data in here for the state engineer to approve the area.
Well, I think for the board to make a decision on it, maybe ahead of the state engineer, making decisions on it, we need to have some kind of a budget. You had mentioned that you may have some cost-sharing ideas and stuff like that. And so I think if we had some financial numbers to consider along with our 2011 budget, that's probably of most importance.
Well, I think, like I said, I got this today and have read it. I think some of the rest should read it. But I think that it's going to need more, and so to visit back with the engineer and see what he thinks.
Yeah.
Whether he asks, do you want me to go ahead and send this to the state, or do you want me to send it to you for review? And I said, by all means, send it to us for review
right
before you send it to Salt Lake.
Yeah. we don't necessarily want to encourage or get Salt Lake wound up on that we're moving forward with something that we haven't even got the budget to do or whatever. So
yeah. I will tell you this. I don't think the upper system used 30,000 gallons of water this season.
It does what?
I don't think the upper cabins this summer used any more than 30,000 gallons. The pump has been kind of halfway working, so I'd have to go out and pump it manually.
Are they on?
I forgot to push record.
Is that where they are now?
Is Sam on?
Yeah.
I think so.
No, that's
me. That's
me. Oh, you, are you telling me you forgot star 5?
Yes.
Do it now.
I tried it, and
so since recording started.
Do you have a good meeting?
I'm not going to record it, don't you?
Or do you?
Okay, good, thank you.
Is there anybody?
Jody wants to work on it.
Well, it just seems to me like it's very huge, with a lot of implications here, that we need to have something more educated. I mean, I don't know anything about the water, and I need to be educated more about the water and the importance of the water. Maybe, do you guys know more about, I mean, does everybody feel adequately informed?
We've had some discussion on it.
I feel adequately informed, except no budget. If this was a $10,000 item, it'd be very easy to say, that's it. If this is a $100,000 item, it'd be very easy to say,
no,
doesn't matter how much it is, can't do it.
Yeah. Okay.
So I assume it's going to be somewhere in between the two, and until we have a financial number, I don't even, it's all fairly irrelevant to me. I'd like to see some water systems developed and opportunity, especially state approved. So I do really like what Dale's doing as far as having an engineering firm move forward with something that then before we put that in the ground, we would send it to the state for approval. And the kind of decisions we as a board need to make is, A, is it a state-approved system? Okay, good. B, what's all the financial ramifications? And C, how many lots can it serve and how can we maximize the benefit of it? And so I'm happy to let the Water Committee move forward till they can answer at least items B and C of that. And then we need to spend a lot more time kind of thinking through, well, where should we put water connections? Do we need one at the Finley cabin? Should we put in a water hauling system for some of the upper lots? There's a lot of details, but if we don't even know that it's in the wild realm of something that we can do financially, I think we're spinning our wheels with those modifications.
And Dirk, can I add something here?
Yeah.
As part of the Water Committee, I would like to be, gone over this with Dale beforehand or have some knowledge of the information so that we can go over this and determine, what would need to be done and who would need, like you said, how many places up there that the water could be diverted to and used for. And we also have the Lee Springs project that we talked about for 2 years that would come into play too. Like, why would we go further and develop a water system that we already have water coming from and that seems to be okay and not produce a different one in a different area where other people can use it as well? So I'd like to be able to go over those things in the Water Committee before it's brought to the board.
Well, and I would say this. I don't mind wasting the board's time a little bit discussing this too. I'm not trying to usurp authority on the Water Committee, but on the other hand, for example, this report just came today. I think it's okay to at least have some discussion in the board. I don't want to create an environment where we're nervous about discussing things in a board meeting because it hasn't gone through a subcommittee meeting first.
I agree.
But
I just wanted to know more about it before, like, through the research on it before we proceed farther on it.
Yeah, and I think that's the same thing that we're all saying here. So I think we'll email this out, look at it, but I just wanted to reaffirm we've already made the decision to tell Dale to move forward with the analysis of this.
Yes, at that meeting we told him to go ahead and go forward and get information, but not to move anything on it yet. We did that.
Right, and so...
Right. Gather information.
And I think the key piece of information we need soon, before our budget is evaporated into all the other projects, is what the cost is going to be.
And, absolutely.
And I would suggest also the same for Leaf Spring. You know, so we need some numbers so that as we prepare the budget in December, that we can prioritize things and say, yeah, we're going to do this year or not. And so I think to the degree that you and Dale can move this forward, I think the board is expressing positive support for it to get to the point where we have a decision that we can make.
And as far as getting this in by next week for a budget proposal for next year's budget, don't think that's enough time for proposing anything on Leaf Springs, because I thought that was a shutdown before. We didn't have any support on that project, no input from the members, or very little input.
Right.
So I don't know how I would collect that information before next week on Leaf Springs to get a comparison. And if we have someone coming out from the engineering firm to do this part, maybe they should have done the whole thing at one time so we can make a good comparison with costs. Instead of having them come out, I don't know if he's paying them to come out individually, or if they don't come out until they do the job, they don't charge until they do the job. But one person coming out to look over the whole ranch area, like you suggested before, would be a really good thing and try to optimize the money that we do have to spend for them doing that.
Yeah, well, I would say this. If there's not a financial number by next week, then we have one of two options. We're going to guess at a number and hope that we can work within that number, and if we can't, then we'll probably not move forward with it, or we're putting it off another year.
Okay,
that's all of my one report.
Can I ask a quick question of Dale?
Yeah.
You said you had something from Sue Finchick?
Yes.
What is that?
It's 100-page.
It's our source protection, isn't it?
Yeah.
That thing has been AWOL for years. It needs to be at the ranch.
Why?
It's part of, it's required by DEW to be part of our on-site operating and maintenance documents.
Yeah.
Okay. Where are the other copies?
Yeah, absolutely. Get a copy. That. There's receipts showing it was paid for, you know, and nobody could find it. So here it is, and this is great news, because that thing cost us a pile of money.
Where are the other copies?
There is no other copy. You got it.
Yeah.
No, there were several copies made.
I know. And there, you have the remaining one, as far as I know.
Yeah, we've been looking for that.
We could get points assessed against us for not having it out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. If you'll give me a copy, Dale, I will scan it and email it to the board, and then Vance, you can put it in our...
I'll get it organized with our other operating documents for the well out there, but that's excellent news, Dale. I've been looking for that ever since I found out that the DEW people could potentially ask us for it at any time.
Well, that's why I've asked that somebody check with Barbara Button, with the past presidents, with Larry Bear, to try and find out where the records are.
And they basically come up saying they don't know, you know, but that source protection plan is key, and we're supposed to be updating it, by the way. It's not a static document. We're supposed to add updates to it as we, you know, in other words, if we put that field into cultivation there around the well, whereas it wasn't before, we need to keep a little logbook of that kind of stuff, because that basically changes the conditions of the source protection plan, however slightly, but we're they want to see that we've been paying attention is really what it amounts to.
Got it. Why don't you add that to the agenda for next month to make sure that we get a electronic copy of source protection.
Thank you for finding it, Dale, wherever it was. I don't care where it came from. I'm just happy that we've got it.
Good. Well, it's here on the table.
Okay. Got anything else for us? I mean, that's a biggie right there. That's a $10,000 document if we have to redo it again today in this climate that, you know, where things have gotten worse, way worse as far as what you have to do.
Okay. What is the title of the house it's spelled?
Source Protection Document.
Source Protection.
They abbreviated SPP, Source Protection Plan, and you'll see it. You'll see that acronym sprinkled all over the place, especially in the Division of Drinking Water site.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there is another key part of that that has to do with the 200-foot radius around the well, where you're supposed to have a signed agreement that nobody will ever develop it, and that's supposed to be filed with the county. Does anybody know if that ever happened?
Yes, it was.
Okay. Any chance we could retrieve a recorded, you know, with a recorder stamp on it, copy of that for the file?
Yep.
There you go. Thank you.
Bullock Brothers did this. That's why I thought it would be smart to have Bullock Brothers be
there. Well, when I talked to the guys that were, you know, like you said, like I told you, they've become they're named Iron Ridge now, and they kind of beat the bushes and came up dry at the time I called them, and I didn't pursue it any further because I was mostly interested in getting the tank issue resolved. So, kudos to you for having the persistence to beat it out of them.
No, it's a simple phone call.
Yeah, and I made several, and they kept typing stuff in their computer and getting nowhere, so I don't know. Probably was talking to the wrong people.
Okay, it's here, and it can be copied and used however you choose.
Thank you. That's really good news.
And the letter, the protection zone letter, is in here. It does not have a recorder stamp on it.
Okay, well, if you know it's been recorded, that's the important thing.
Well, that was one of the requirements for completing this, and the letters are here, so whether may not have been followed through, may not have been recorded. These are all just copies.
Well, if somebody's going to be down there in the recorder's office for any other reason, or somebody wants to just check it out, it's worth finding out that it's been done. You know, witness our two dwellings per lot mess we've got.
Mm-hmm. Can you check that out, Dale? And if it's not done, can you simply hand it to them and ask them to do it?
Well, they'll need originals. These are bargain button signed. The originals are somewhere. And this one thing I've been very upset about is our filing system and the record keeping. And these documents are valuable, and they've been very carelessly handled.
Who's supposed to be responsible for them, Dale? Is it the current president, or...
Well, these critical documents like this we're going to store in the website.
Okay, but you still need originals.
We need the originals.
Right, but every time we get one, we're going to
scan
it and take care of it. We have no... we discussed for 3 hours, I think, one meeting, what we were going to do for filing systems and... for hard copies, and I think we came up with not a very good answer. Or no answer. How's that?
All right.
So we still need to, in my opinion, we probably ought to have a box that either moves with our administrative people, like Linda, I would say, you know, and she files things, and if she ever... quits or leaves, that's all handed on. I'm not sure that board members are, you know, real good record keepers or even presidents. But
and they're likely to stay longer than the president.
I think that should be one of the job responsibilities of our administrative person. Does everybody agree to that? Is there a motion on that?
I'll make a motion to that. I think that's a wonderful motion.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any who oppose?
The motion is that all paper documents will be managed by the our administrative person.
Will be stored.
Stored.
Forward and on.
That's one of the job requirements. Okay?
Super.
But I think we're also trying to keep electronic copies. Vance has set that up, so we're all encouraged to email Vance a copy of the documents like this, you know, as needed as well.
So, quick question. Who's the administrative person? Is that Linda?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. I remember you saying boxes are overflowing your house already.
They are, and I will attempt to make that storage more secure. So.
Okay, and multiple copies, obviously, you know, somehow or the other, not stored with you, you know.
Yes, I know. I'm aware of the ramifications of this motion.
Wow.
I wonder why you were being really, really quiet.
Yeah, I am. We'll fix that, though.
Okay, let's move on before we get into
the
3 hours.
Back up just a little bit. Larry's here now. Larry, do you want to make a comment about the ponds, the reservoirs, the head gates? Is that something you want to do? Follow through on? You want Paul to do it?
I can help out however, whatever you guys want or need.
Hey, you think if, you know, like a half moon, if I were to get some 10-foot T-posts, do you think that would be enough?
Well, after digging into what they did originally up at the Red Reservoir with the long barricade wall they built and how it held up for as long as it did,
right.
That's kind of what I had envisioned going ahead and doing, is just cutting some cedar posts and laying up a log berm that goes across the head gate and then ties back into the bank.
Right.
Fill that up to where there's a
kind of wall.
Wing wall.
Yeah. Now, is that full of water right now? It is, right?
It is. Quite a bit.
Is there something we can do temporarily to keep it a little secure, or?
We could probably just with some T-posts and chains or something attach it. But we may want to consider releasing some water in anticipation of, you know, catching more for the winter. I wondered if even if we want to. Rather than wait till spring thaw to divert water around the fish ponds, whether we divert some now just to let them get a little lower so that they've got a bigger capacity,
yeah.
So that when the thaw hits,
there's somewhere for the water.
If it thaws the way it has in certain years, then within a day or two or three, you're full and nowhere to go. So whether we release some from the Half Moon Reservoir, go ahead and work on the head gate, shoring it up. Release them at the Red Reservoir. It's been great to have that water there all year for cattle and whatnot, but during the winter.
Yeah.
And do we need to store that water, or do we want to go ahead and release some? I think that's something we can look at and decide what do we need to do to secure them.
Dave Turley, are you on?
No, I wasn't.
Dave mentioned it up at.
Yeah, I heard her.
Oh, good.
This scrap metal place that you mentioned up there, Geneva Steel?
Yeah.
They probably, do they have some angle iron lengths and things like that as well?
Yes, they do, if I can get it. They're almost done cleaning up, but tell me what you need and I can find it. If it's not there, I can find it somewhere else.
Is there anything, Larry, that you should be looking for?
Oh, we need those I-beams. Is that something you could look for?
He's already got those.
Got that? Okay.
Well, what do you think of something? They're getting rid of all of this metal there by his house, so he got us the I-beams that we need for the pavilion.
He did?
Right.
Great.
Are you gonna be at the ranch anytime soon?
Yeah, depending on how I feel, I may go up tomorrow. Are you sick? Physically?
I mean, I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
They've kind of directed me to kind of get these things finished up, and I've kind of been like watching it. I mean, I've wanted to, you know, get it done, but I don't want to do it and then like do it wrong. And you guys were thinking of some another way. I mean, I want to do it kind of that'll.
I can go with you and see what ideas I've got and
right.
Figure out what.
To... You guys have been looking at it for years. I'd like to do it the way you guys have been envisioning it. My thing is I'll throw some 10-foot T-posts down just to keep that thing up and, you know, keep it from
right.
rocking back and forth. And you know, the hidden reservoir, I have a whole bunch of lumber that we could take up there. They're not real long, but, you know, we could build up something.
On that hidden reservoir, you know how it had the big wood catwalk and it was built out to it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought as we continue to work and clean there with the equipment, we could build part of that out of dirt so that there's a dirt berm that goes partially out there instead of rebuilding the full long
right.
wood.
Right. Well, let's get together on that because I'd like to do it once and be done with it.
Good deal. Any other water questions? Any other Larry questions? Any other questions from Larry to us?
Did you run out there today?
Yeah. Okay, item 9. BLM fencing, I'll just encourage you to remember you'll need a string run on all the BLM fencing.
Yeah.
Meadow crops. Not sure what that is, item B.
I'm sorry.
So, probably.
Is that all the crops that we talked to Charlton about?
Yeah,
I think
maybe.
That's what it is.
So let's call that seeding areas. Here's some things just to be aware of. In the front entrance where we planted kochia, I met with the Utah State Extension Services guy, and he showed me what's going on with kochia in not that, but in another field I did, which I thought was a total failure too, but it actually is doing great. And so he said, you know, you really shouldn't disturb that area, let it go another couple of years, so we can kind of watch it and check it. But he said it would really be devastating to disc it up and try to reseed it again, where, you know, we put all of that effort and cost into it. So I think that takes care of the entrance. I had Mike Noel go up, and Dale and I spent some time looking at the airstrip, and it's got a lot of crusted weed in it and is doing pretty well. What he suggested is that we spray the sunflowers when they start to emerge in the spring to try to, you know, get them out. So we might need to look at some kind of herbicide treatment there. Broad hollow is probably the biggest problem, and the well field area, you know, those areas, you know, need to have something done. When I thought we had some money, I talked to Johnson's about doing it, and they said that it wasn't, by the time we'd skinnied it down to about a $4,000 budget, they said they really couldn't justify spending any time on it. and he thought that his brother would be able to do something, and so we wasted kind of a couple of weeks there while, and then his brother came back and said that he had too many jobs to do and couldn't do it either. They said that we could use their grain drill that's up there. It's still up there, so they've come and got it now.
It was up there the other day.
They just took it in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
So, that option is now done. So,
I talked to Austin about Broad Olive. He said it's coming up really good, and I walked through it, and some of it in spots is coming up good. He says, you know, in the spring, let it get up a little bit, and then go through and just kind of brush off everything down. It'll kind of take care of the sagebrush, the new growth. And then allow a lot of that other stuff to come up. But
well, we probably watch that. The well field is kind of bare dirt.
Right.
Probably our biggest problem.
That site over by Dave Cannell's place. That looks pretty good as far as coming back.
So I don't feel as panicked as I did before, and based on our budget, we don't have any money to do anything either. But I'd like to look at, and I'll be suggesting some things for next year, or at least some of those areas.
Did we have some budget, though, that we designated for seeding, didn't we?
We spent it.
On something else?
No, we did seed in the spring. We helped augment seed. We spent about $4,000. On seeding.
But last month I thought we divided some between seeding and
We said $4,000, but again, because we didn't remember our taxes and stuff, like $7,000.
So that's where that's going to catch up from. Okay.
We're out of money.
Okay.
So
I do know somebody that has a drill that we can borrow.
Where is it at?
Jim Johnson came from.
So I think we ought to just do our own seeding. We got a tractor. We can borrow a grain drill. And it's time that we learn how to plant and do stuff.
I'm up for that. Some of the equipment problems that we've had, I think we've kind of ironed out a little bit. But, you know, you get a disc and a grain drill out there, I think we could do a lot of work. Might
want
to invest
in a harrow.
Yeah.
We decided what we're going to put together as a seed?
Yes.
Okay.
It's a mix.
Is it?
But we decided to plant something that would be either reseeding itself or be a perennial, so we wouldn't be doing this every year.
Okay.
So.
Why don't we get the field that we have?
Well, we've got 300 acres that we need to seed, and we have water rights to irrigate 20 acres. So, yeah, we should water the 20 acres, but that isn't a solid much of our problem. So there are a lot of things as far as water management and using these reservoirs and the old ditches on the ranch and stuff that were done by the old original farmers that we could benefit from, but none of that will change the fact that we need to be growing seed of our choice instead of sunflowers.
I have a question. I've noticed a lot of rabbit brush, and it's going to just continue to get worse. Is there, you know, other than brush hogging, ditches, is there, should we burn anything this time of year or in the spring, or just go through and burn ditches? What's the...
That'd be a good Brent question.
Well, officially right now, we do not need Earl. If we just call Earl up, we don't need to actually get a burning permit. We can go ahead and burn whatever we want. But we need to just call him and tell him. And then he sends out an email to all the everybody, so they don't look at it as a fire type thing.
Yep.
Yeah. And as long as the burning index is okay,
I think one of the easiest ways for us to handle those ditches is to burn them. It's a whole lot easier than trying to, brush hog them or do anything else.
I think I could brush hog right up to them. It's just that part there that...
Right. And some of those areas would not be that difficult at all. In fact, what would be cool is if we could brush hog both sides of them and then just burn the ditch and we don't have to worry about the fire moving anywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sounds good.
We have a weed burner now, right?
Yep. So add that to your list, burning ditches.
I got the Kubota back down to the house. I put a kind of rigged something up, and it's not working. It's overheating. I don't think it's getting enough water through the engine, so that it's overheating. So I think I'm going to have to go buy that $35 hose.
Yeah, and I was going to tell you. My opinion on farm equipment stuff is let's buy the original equipment.
Well, I spent $4 and I kind of limped it down to the house.
Well, $40 or $4, I don't care. Let's get something that we're 100% confident will work and will be working 15 years later.
I agree.
Okay, next item, cattle guards. You think you'll get a chance to set that one? Or have you already moved it?
No, it's still there.
So, you're going to try to get it out of there before snow flies?
I don't know if it'll be done, but I'm going to try and get it moved over just to the side, just kind of so it's out of the way. It's going to end up, I think I'm going to have to come down and help put it on the trailer, but up there, it's going to be heavy. But
where is the cattle guard going to go? Where's the next?
Well, I started building that one to go up by the spring tank. You remember where you kind of took your backhoe through those oaks up there?
Oh, right. What's the fish ponds?
Mm-hmm. Okay. There is a fence north or a fence south going along the pond there. Just kind of contained, so that'd be another zone for the cows to be in.
Well, I would. When you get that baby loaded up, take it right up there and kick it off.
Yeah.
I think...
I'm really having a hard time finding rods that get hot enough to get down in there. You know, round steel on flat irons. I'm not a welder. I'm doing the best I can. I found a different way to do it. I had some Waterman welding. Took some of that square tubing out there and they cut four-inch squares. And so I'm doing that, and so it's going to be a little more stable. But,
it looks good what you're doing.
Right.
So I wouldn't second-guess yourself too much, just do it.
Right.
And let's take it up there and have one last thing in your driveway.
Yeah.
What can we do to teach the longhorns not to sneak around the cattle car
or walk over?
I need to, if you notice the angle of those sides, I need to bring them up. I think, they put it that way, if they were going to bring a trailer or whatever up in there. But, I need to bring it up.
Several times here, and they just kind of tippy-toe around the edge.
Yeah.
A great big shock collar.
Yeah.
Well, they walked right over it, yesterday, Tuesday. They went right over the top of it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If they're put in right and the sides go right, then. But the reason why that they're angled out is because, in theory, that angled out should still be over a pit.
Yeah.
And if you just do a fence right up to it, they can also just kind of walk around the fence.
Yeah.
And so, you almost need a fence that splits and goes to both sides of it. Or some kind of a moat that goes back, But
those two cattle guards that are on Deer Springs, well, there's three, but the two up front.
Yeah.
Are those the counties?
Yeah.
Is it possible to send them a letter to see if we can get those two cleaned out by a spring?
Sure. Send them a letter.
Okay.
Email it to you and you send it?
No, just send it to them. I don't want to be the county representative for everything.
God.
Do we have more cattle guards that we'll be building next year?
Or it's not going to service?
I'd like to.
Do we have to build them in the middle of that area?
I just put it there. That was kind of, it was out of my, where I park, but it was close enough that I can have
it. It's a project that we thought would take 6 weeks. It's taken
6 months. It's been there all summer long.
6 months.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah.
So that's why I say let's get it done and delivered up there if we can and learn what we can from it.
Did you all see the pictures and information on the cattle guards I had at the
cattle?
Yeah, those were really good.
He has called me a couple of times since to say, hey, what could you guys do or what would you want to do? That's what his business. He builds all the cattle guards for all the oil field roads in Texas and New Mexico.
I think, you know, as a budget item next year, I mean, I have no problem building it. You know, it's a time issue sometimes. The reason I didn't do it last year is I didn't feel like running a 220 generator sitting in the snow. I can clear it out, dry it out, just take some time, and I probably should have got it done last year. But as a budget item next year, I think a 16-foot cattle guard right at that drift fence gate. And then there's another one up at the other gate.
Bottom end.
Right. But
this was our experiment, and I would have to say it didn't pan out as good as we thought, just from an effort, time, trying to save money,
The ones that he sent those pictures and talked to me about were some that have been built and sitting in their yard, and I'm sure they'd be glad to get them shipped.
Yeah, find out. Again, here we are in this next week. We should be throwing all the ideas out. And so those cattle guards and how much they are, and we ought to get some either cement blocks or something.
Well, most of these not just the cattle guard, but they have the cattle guard and the base well below it. So it was a big price, but for everything you get, I mean, by the time we build them, we're into them that much money anyway. And then we got to go install them and build concrete basins or put in I-beams or something. And so I think it's priceless. Very reasonable, it's just a matter of
we
don't have any money.
Minor
detail. Okay. Any other discussion on cattle guards? BLM grazing dates, you can strike that off. We've managed that.
All the cows are off the ranch, by the way.
Yep.
Johnson's too.
Except for there's a bull that got left behind because it belongs to Norris Brown. Are they going to have their cows back next year?
Johnson's. I think they would be anxious to. And so we'll take them as a second priority to hunt because they're not going to pay the same AUM fees. So.
Will that be another revenue next year?
Mm-hmm. So basically the agreement that I made with them is, which may have been a bad agreement since they aren't doing anything, is that we would pay them to do seeding and they would pay us to do grazing instead of the way it had been on a bartering basis. So we'll, as per our agreement with Hunt, we're to give him first priority. So he'll declare how many animals he can bring in, how much of the ranch he can use, and then we'll see what we have left over and success we can bring in whoever's. So they're probably a pretty good choice for that, I would say. So we'll see where we're at. I would love to have one Hunt bringing up cows on that we just deal with one.
Right. He had 90, I believe, at the peak. He had 90 up there. And I think he could do quite a bit more. I, I think he was talking about his lease at the Trevor's was coming up.
He's just nervous that it's going to come up.
Yeah.
It's going to come up whenever Trevor decides to not be around on this earth anymore.
Right.
Who knows when that would be.
And I'm sure you're aware of this, there were upwards of 160 cows on the ranch.
Right, so Hunt would need to agree to bring another 50 or so, plus if he brought, 150, 160 cows, then we could feel pretty comfortable saying we don't need to worry about a second lease. Does that sound good to everybody? Willow mowing. As near as I can tell from my clip drive today, the willows are still not mowed.
Still there.
So
minus the leaves.
What do we need to do there?
As soon as I get the Kubota, I dropped the Kubota down to switch the blade off the back and get the brush hog going. I wanted to go up one side of Meadow Canyon and get the rabbit brush, get up to the meadow, do some brush hogging, and buzz down the other side, but it's kind of been a busy month between winterizing cabins and getting hay and wood and getting the water system going. But, the next couple of weeks look good as far as weather.
Yeah, I think.
Sunny and warm in the Canada.
You mowed some of the willows. Can you tell us how many hours? Was it 2 days, one day, half a day?
It was half a day, I'm at.
Yeah, I'll bet what's left up there would be about 3 hours' work.
Yeah, well.
It would have been easy to have done it while the tractor and mower were up there.
Yeah, I think I had some other stuff going on.
Seeding efforts. There it is. So it was on there instead of item B.
Back on the willow mowing, you mentioned mowing the side of the road. I think that would help a lot with the snow drifting, making sure that the sides, like on that one big curve along the airstrip, if you don't have any brush sticking up to start this the little crazy drift the way it is,
right.
So even if it takes two passes, to get a nice wide spot cleared off on the way up.
Well, there's that section going up Broad Hollow, too. I want to get real thick
right.
On both sides. Going up Broad Hollow, just that first, quarter mile. Last year we started having problems with some drifting right there, too.
So make sure you do some mowing of that when you're in the mowing effort, because that was a critical thing to keep it quick and good.
Mm-hmm.
Hunt panels in the meadow. Doug has 10 new panels, new 16-foot panels, and 3 12-foot used panels. He paid something like $87 each for those, and he asked us if we wanted to buy them and he'd just leave them there, or if... He's got to take them back and put them in some other corrals to manage his cattle. If not, he didn't really care one way or another, but he thought we may be interested in keeping them there. I went up and looked at them. I got pictures here of them if you want to look at them, but we need to make a decision if we're interested in that.
I recommend something. The panels, you have barbed wire up there. If the panels aren't there, the barbed wire's there. You can't keep cows in when you're, not those cows, when you get them all in there to try and cut any kind of cows out, they just walk right through that fence.
Right. We need, what's up there isn't working.
Right.
Unless we have panels. But the panels seem to be doing a good job, and they didn't look bad. Dale, do you have an opinion on that?
What was the price on the panels?
$87 each.
There's 10 new and 3 used, 16 foot.
Yeah, and I didn't.
So $870 for the new?
Yeah, something like that. And he'd probably just take it as credit, like in next year's leasing or.
That seems high for the
total.
That's not bad.
Oh, it's not high.
I think $135, $145 at the cheapest.
He got a real good deal on that from a friend that is in the business.
What? It's about $1,000, doesn't it?
These are the panels.
Yep.
They're all 16.
I'm not really pushing it. We just need to decide yes or no.
They're all 16 footers?
10 are 16 footers. 3 are 12 footers.
Are the used ones 12?
Yes.
I know what a panel looks like.
Well, they're looking in good shape.
I would say if nobody's anxious to keep them, we should tell them to take them back. Is that
right now? Really, the only purpose they're serving is to hold his cattle and so he can work them.
They're there to hold the fence up, Larry.
Well, you know, bottom line is, do we need them this winter?
No,
for anything.
No money.
Yeah. I have no problem getting him because we could probably use him down the road. But and if he'll take credit, you know, take it as a credit issue off of his.
Well, the reason why I would see us looking at him is Paul has been pricing panels. We've been trying to do something. I don't think we've found anything in this price range.
No.
And so, it'll cost us more later. Or, you know, it's kind of an opportunity now.
Pricing them for where?
We've called several places all
no,
across
I mean,
the state.
For where to use them?
Right where they are.
Oh. Okay.
So here they are. They're a price that's $40 cheaper than the cheapest price we found. And we feel like we need them. So that's why we should do it. But
well, will he take his credit?
I think so. I think if we told him, look, we don't have any money, we'd like to get them, but we don't have any money, we'll give you that much of a discount on next year's grazing fee, he would say, fine.
Is he paying full for this year?
I don't know if we've got his last check yet. I don't think so, because we should have it in the next 10 days.
Well, I have no problem with ask him if he'll do a credit on him. If you do a credit on him, then let's just get him.
Okay. So, done. Anything else on agriculture and wildlife? Roads and fire protection, we did all of this. Facilities and cabin maintenance, Kathy.
Okay.
So we're ready for our second win.
All right. Well, I took some pictures out of the ranch, and I put them on a poster board for us to look at. So if you want to come down and join me, I'll show you what I'm thinking. To me, the first picture we have of the whole ranch is headquarters. It's exactly who we are, what we are. We say by the moment we drive through those gates. We've got a beautiful sign that says welcome. We come in. There's some positive. There's some negative going on. Couple areas I think we need to look at that are negative is right there. I know we've talked about it and where to put it. That's one of our most negatives.
Is that in its new location?
No, we moved it out of there because the flies were so bad.
It's back in its old location, I think. I'm not sure which location it's
in.
It's by the chicken pens. And when you come into the ranch,
we
see the back end of it. So I have an alternative thought.
I didn't know that we moved it back, but go ahead.
Okay. There are some things we can do with the headquarters that are not that expensive. I think what Ole did here is really nice, and it represents the kinds of things we need to have going there. My concern is what to do with the fence that we come in. That was started and never completed. It looks like, well, I don't have the picture, it didn't turn out.
Oh, it's close along the entranceway?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Good girl.
I think we need to... I know. They were punishment for the boys to dig holes and put those in. No, well, that's what I heard. Okay. So I think if we just did some lateral finishing that and take advantage of it rather than take them out or do something, we need to complete. I need your input in it. Also, the climbing, I don't know what else to call it, but the climbing thing.
That's, I actually put that up for our family reunion, and then a scout troop and another family requested that it stay there for that time period, but it really, it's something that, I mean, it belongs to me, and I can take it down. It's just, it was requested to leave it, and so I left it, and then it's just been year after year after year.
Just
left, so,
okay, that,
I don't know that it's even ever been used, or...
It's not very pretty.
Yeah.
It's actually quite... So we can leave it up and come up with something creative. We could use it as a...
Paint a big kachina on it.
We could do it as a... We could use a couple of ideas, and we could put it out to the members to see what they'd like to see done with that area. It's got... It's wonderful clothes.
Well,
so,
is anybody using it at all?
No.
Is it even usable?
We don't know.
Yeah.
I've tried to climb it.
You got to have somebody helping you with the ropes going over.
Well, it's a liability out there beyond the property. And if we're going to do something with it, we need to be sure that our liability is there. I thought another thing we could do is make it a decorative totem pole and do some sort of arts and craft type of a competition to have people paint it or else take it down. But I need your input. What do you guys, Brent, looking at me under your hat, what do you think?
Well, I've been eyeing those clothes for quite a while now. Dirk and I talked about a zip line that went down the hill there where you just kind of ride close to the edge of the hill, and I was looking at those as the anchor post.
Hey, how tall is that thing?
How tall is it?
Anybody know?
20. There's three of them, right?
Yeah.
There's three, about 20 foot tall. What? Circumference?
How deep are they?
Yeah,
garden?
How deep?
Hey, Brent, I need 30 feet. You know where?
Right. They're buried probably 5 or 6 feet deep, but the poles are probably 30 foot poles. They're just telephone poles.
So do you want...
We need to talk.
George,
Sorry. What
do you...
Yeah.
I got a use for them, basically, where my dam used to be.
We like a zip line idea better than your dam, though.
I know, but if you're looking to get rid of them, you know.
I'm negotiable.
I'm just throwing in some levity.
I think a zip line, people would use it all the time. But it needs to be one kind of like Danny Buttons. Have you, any of you seen his? He has a hill that goes down like this, and he's got a bench seat tied to a pulley, and it's never more than 5 feet off the ground. But it's still, you know, enough of a slope that it gives a good ride. So there's no real danger, I think, of falling out and getting hurt, but... It would be something that probably kids would use a lot. And you have to, you know, pull the thing back up, so...
Kids got to work it too.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They would, you know...
Well, where I was actually thinking would be a pretty cool place to do it is down there in the wash where Clark cut that real gentle road going down into the wash.
Mm-hmm.
See, I think it would be pretty cool to have it go down that hill. I haven't been thinking about this a whole lot. Go down the hill and have the anchor point on the other side of the wash. So you went down and then up and then came back part way and then stopped just about at the bottom of the hill, got off, pulled it up, and...
Right.
And then you could be out going out over the wash. And number one, it wouldn't be in the way. It wouldn't be going over any road or blocking anything. Number two, it would bring more people down... into the wash area,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, something that's underutilized, and you know, we got parts and pieces down there to do it. I have the cable already, which I'm more than happy to donate. So anyway,
Well, I think that's a good use for it. I agree. It kind of sits there and it's out of character with everything.
It doesn't fit at all.
Yeah,
you didn't need a totem pole there if you want to leave one of them.
It was pretty cool when it was first set up and it was used for that reunion. I remember that.
So, Larry, it's your possession. You want to think about it? Shall we just put this out?
I can disassemble it and take it down, and then if the poles can be used for part of the zip line or whatever, we can make that work out. It still has one of my good chains up at the top. I don't know if you can climb up to the very top of that.
That's a good viewpoint.
Yeah.
And then, does everybody agree with me that we do something to finish the fence to make that the entry where they are?
We either got to do something like that, Kathy, or just pull those posts and use them somewhere else.
What do you think? I just thought that they were nice. Ole originally was going to make a corral there and put a stud in there. We've got the nice, what do you call that round thing?
Round pen.
No, the maze. The maze.
Yeah.
Labyrinth. The labyrinth. And it's attractive. That is in character. We need to do something more of a, like to see something.
Didn't you work with Scout on the pole fence at the Crocodile Road, Jonathan Canyon?
Yeah.
The Scouts and the BLM and I don't know who all collaborated, but they put a two rail or maybe a three rail pole.
Yeah.
So if we wanted to use those poles,
they're just tied.
They're now put the rebar that's put down.
Yeah.
So if that would be the entry lane to the ramp.
That would be my choice.
We've actually started watering, and part of the water line that we put in next to the corral with the new hydrant, I put a stub out for future water for that side over there. But, I mean, there's some good grass growing over there that, you know, if we keep people off of, I think we grow up nice and be another pasture.
I'd love to see some trees over there.
Yeah.
Along that.
I would love to see some trees.
The labyrinth over there.
There was a bunch of chondrosa
every year.
Well, my wife and I and kids at the time, we planted trees. You can still see the little shields.
Yeah.
They're over them about every 25 feet along the entire perimeter of the thing. But I think they didn't get watered enough and they're all big to dust.
Is it because they didn't get watered or was there something that ate them?
No.
Okay.
And they're not ever going to get, it was stupid for us to do, having learned this now several times. Unless we're going to put in a drip line to go along with it, you know, somebody could go out, you know, once a week and turn on a hydrant that would run a drip line and you'd do fine.
But it does.
But nobody's going to drag a hose or a bucket around to all of them once a week but I would love to see us put a perimeter of trees, you know, and evergreens that offer a nice windbreak, drift break for the winter, and it would, you know, make a nice look on that west fence.
The things to me that are offensive are we just have to either make a prettier garbage cabinet thing or put it somewhere that's not the thing.
Let's decide garbage thing. Frank, you said you had an idea.
Well, we were gonna make an enclosure. You know how people put all their dumpsters in enclosures?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So, you know, so they can't be seen. You know, there's a barricade around them. We need to do something like that. When that was over by the house...
Just so you know, it's been there all year. The last time I took it to the dump, I parked it right there.
Yeah, right.
I've been up there.
But the flies were so bad this summer.
And I don't blame you for not wanting to move
it. It was absolutely incredible. And I'm thinking that we build ourselves a nice enclosure. You know, you guys are welcome to all the slash that comes off that sawmill. And we could make a nice fence around it. Or, you know.
What does it... this kind of a wild thing, but like out of my farm, I have a dumpster out there, you know, it has good lids on it, you know, and once a month the county comes out and dumps it for me. Has anybody looked at what the cost would be to just get on their system? I mean, they
never looked at it.
I assume they have to charge something. Is there a service district that covers that area?
I'm sure there is. There's nobody that comes out, I know.
Well, that's because we're not signed out. But if it was $40 a month for a service and it was a dumpster that looked good that had lids, so
$80 sometimes to deliver to the dump.
So. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think we ought to.
Okay, let me
the budget is $600 a year. Right.
So
who is
Kyle Willis? 644-5040.
644-5040.
Is there some other company that services out there?
Johnson Canyon has a pickup.
Johnson Canyon. There's a grand staircase, something or another, waste management thing.
Ask Niall. He'll know who. He'll say, that's our area, or no, here's the other guys. But, there's something real nice about having one of those big dumpsters with the lids on them. And,
that you can't smell.
Yeah, and of course, see. And I think that would keep flies down.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and I, it would be better for me when I'm dumpster diving. It's, now I'm trailer diving.
Okay. If we're going to keep some form of aesthetics of the main thing, we need to plan where we're going to park things permanently. And it seems like to me behind the house and out in that empty area would be a much more appropriate thing to store things as this kind of stuff. I know it's a farm. I know it's supposed to be a ranch. It should be original looking.
But that's what we already went through. That's where we already made a decision on that, the equipment stuff should be parked out through that gate into the bottom of the well-filled area.
Those are the cement culverts.
There's cement culverts in there.
They just need to go.
Yeah. They're on their way. I've been offering them to everyone.
Okay.
Anyone.
So they're on their way out. Mm-hmm.
Well, the problem is if you pick those up twice, they won't be a culvert anymore.
I know. They're just rotted. I've seen that.
But
we probably should push them over the edge and fill up the... Do we have anywhere we can use
them? We've already pushed things over the edge.
Yeah.
Well, weren't we going to take them out to...
We're trying to use those on the Brown Homestead Road.
Right.
I picked out the good ones out of there. I mean, I haven't picked them out. I haven't wanted to move them until we're ready to move them.
Right.
Because you put it, like you say, you put them on the trailer and you haul them over those roads.
Correct.
And as bad as they are, I only want to move them once.
We're figuring a way to get rid of them.
Well, we only really need three of them for what we have ranch projects. I bought the other people who own Beyond the Ortolanis. I offered those to them if they wanted them because that's a big drainage.
Right.
And I don't think the culvert, any of the culverts that we got from Arizona would work for over there. But I've offered those over there too. But the problem is that we used all the best ones when we did the Slide Canyon thing with them. And those there's ones there that are serviceable, but there's other ones there that are just trash. I've offered them to people. Nobody wants to either move them or whatever. They are heavy. You don't move them with the Ranch Kubota. A backhoe will move them, but they're very heavy.
Oh, and we've used it down to the point where it's like using your office stapler and getting a box instead of a stick of staples. You're picking out one staple at a time and put in the stapler, and pretty soon it's like throw that in the garbage.
So are we ready?
And get more staples.
All right.
All right. Then we'll work on that. So the inside of...
Well, let's decide. The ones that are trash, what should we do with?
Well, there's three different things that we could...
Oh, man, that's...
I know. Okay, that's why I said never mind.
we could, if we can, just haul them off and dump them in a wash as a erosion.
Right.
Stuff.
There's that some really good erosion controls. We need some stuff like that on that road going to Phil Hall.
Yes. Yeah. Exactly. That's a good spot. But that's something.
Are they big enough to put in Slide Canyon at lot 218? That's washed out probably 3 feet deep right now.
And you'll have to go look at it now. There, I think we've got some. I mean, when Larry and I installed the ones on Broad Hollow, so and just the same way we installed all the ones in Slide, all we really did was take some 30-pound felt and wrap the seams because they didn't mate together. And one in Broad Hollow, after the first little incident we had when we redid it, but all the ones up in is now holding a felt pine for 5-6 years. All the ones in the Slide are holding fine, but all they have is some 30-pound felt wrapped around the seams. And once you get some material in there that fills in the gaps, you know, because they don't ever fill all the way, you know, up, and they run through. You get those bottom parts filled in with some silt, and it consolidates. They usually work fairly well. But let me go. I can go look at that. I think we have some that are probably serviceable. If you still have your cutoff saw, we might be able to trim them up.
Grab the ends a little bit.
We might be able to trim them up.
Well, another place I've noticed that there's a big erosion.
Right.
Those would lay in there without the excavation.
Well, there's potential use for them if we.
There is potential use. And I
thought of them. Make a commitment to get rid of them.
I have offered them to a lot of people and just said, look, if you want this, you know, take them. And everybody, you know, I know people have gone down there and looked at them, and then they realize they're not going to be able to put that, hand load that in the back of their half-ton pickup and haul it off.
Okay. The barn looks great. The roof looks great. The house looks great. There's lots of positive things going on. The inside of the store, we need to do something with by next year. There's just, it needs, that's a, so much of an invitation. Welcome to Deer Springs Ranch. If you look at the pictures, it's not very inviting. So, we need to do something with this area here more.
Yeah, it's a lot more inviting than it was a few years ago.
I know. It is. But
yeah, I agree.
Well, in the bathroom, I'm embarrassed for people.
Can we go back to the fencing scale, though?
Okay.
We talked about, and Kathy, you can help us with this. Let's make some lists and kind of prioritize and keep wellness forward so we don't forget about things. But if we talk about putting in the entrance fence, doing the rails, where are we going to get the rails?
Can't we just pick those up off the ranch? Can't we get them from the ranch?
I think so.
Well, we actually have, if we don't mind, we've got a bunch of stuff that Steve Livinovich donated to Deer Springs. And I hauled them down off of his lots.
All right.
And there are some. If we need to use them soon, most of that is not serviceable, but there are still some good rails up there, or rails that are serviceable, that we could make to those cedar posts. They're not cedar, but they would work, and they would be serviceable.
Enough to do the whole job, though?
You know, I don't know.
One thing I feel, I don't want, you know, something that's got half of a...
No, I know.
Let's get enough that does...
But I hauled them down there, and to be honest with you, I mean, the problem, you know, the problem is, and I sit there in these meetings, and a whole lot of times, I honestly, you know, of course, I go into Brent World, and that's a very fine place, because most of you are somewhere else, and I'm there by myself and just enjoying myself.
Nobody bothering you.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, one of the things that's so interesting here is we keep talking about different things, and everybody says, well, the ranch manager will do this, or we'll do this, or we'll do this, or we'll do this. And every single time, you know, I'm there all the time, and I see these projects come up, and I go, okay, yeah, we hauled all these timbers down there, or these logs down there, and we thought we were going to be able to use them and have a place for them. And to be honest with you, you know, we're looking at this, and then the reason I wasn't here last meeting is because we had a water leak, a bad water leak.
Okay.
You know, and those things just keep coming up, and it's just one more thing. And you know, these things are not small jobs. I mean, it's not like, oh, I'm going to make a phone call and take care of this thing. It's like 3, 4, 5 hours worth of work to go out.
Here's what I think about some of those things. If we can decide a style, we've gone a whole year debating, are we going to do panels, are we going to do welded metal fence, are we going to do railroad ties, are we going to do, you know, and I think a project like this is almost just a a filler project, you know. I got a couple of hours, or there's a family reunion and they want a service project. And if we had the materials and we had the direction, then it can kind of fit in. It's never going to be take precedence over the water system. It's never going to take precedence over some other things. And maybe, you know, it'll never take precedence all year long. Hopefully not, but we need to kind of decide some things and some themes and at least work on little sections of it as we get past.
My vision of this, just let me say this much. I know that the ranch manager and Brent and everybody who works out there, I mean, if we all dedicated all of our life for the rest of our life to Deer Springs Ranch, we'd never keep up with everything that needs to be done. My vision of this is to get permission, get ideas, thoughts, and then form some committees and ask some people to help from the outside. And this is what we're going to do. We're going to do the fence that looks like this, and this is what I need help with. And not say that that's part of Nancy and Paul's responsibility, because I don't see this as it. But I need...
Well, even this youth group could do...
Absolutely.
That would be a good project ready for them to do every
absolutely.
Time.
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do, just so we can move this ahead. I'm going to go down tomorrow and we'll look at that well thing, the irrigation well, see what's going to happen to, you know, plug it in and disconnect it and turn it around so we can shoot some water out of it if we so choose. We'll inventory that pile of rails and we'll decide if they're what's serviceable in there and how much there is and if it will.
If you will measure the spacing on the posts, because there may be those rails, I know the guy that hauled them up there, and I unloaded them for Bart, and
right.
Hauled them up there to Suzanne's lot, who became Steve's, and I think it's just the Jack Pine poles.
It is.
That are above Deer Springs, cut down all over. We've hauled some. If 12 footers will work. You know, I don't know what the spacing is on those fence posts.
I think I'm not 100% sure. I think they're roughly over 10.
So, you know, we use what's serviceable out of the Steve's donation and
get the rest.
So it's similar material.
We use these projects as incorporated into the activities.
Right.
So we come through the winter and we're going to do this, but everybody who's there, please bring this to donate to the If that would be fun for me to coordinate that and get that going. And I'm not looking at budget on this. I'm looking at what we can do without budget. Because there's enough things like doors.
The other thing I'd like to suggest, and you guys can all take a little field tour. I worked with Brent, got some ideas for building some corrals on my farm, which I recently did. Out of railroad tie posts, I went and got good ones, you know, they're decent square heavy posts and 2x12s that I screwed on with plastic coated 3-inch screws. And that's a fence I think that's going to be there 50 years.
That's what we need to do here.
And we talked about panels and stuff, and I think panels are maybe okay for inside. But the part that you'd at least look at, the exterior fences around things, I think that the railroad tie and board fences are a really nice look. And I thought I took some pictures of them to bring, but that's what I did there. I did the railroad tie with boards, and then I've got some panels behind them. And so you don't really see the panels so much. They have their functionality, and you can move them around and do all the things with them that's good. But as I did that, I really thought, man, this makes a really good fence. But you know, it is kind of a labor-intensive process.
But we have to start somewhere.
Yeah, but I did it pretty much by myself, so it's not like it's.
Are you volunteering?
I would certainly come and set the first five posts.
You know, all right. One thing about you, don't have to go to the gym to work out after you're working.
I had thought, you know, where the chute is,
Yeah.
That's nice.
Mm-hmm.
To the left of the chute going north, you know, if we were to do some big cow fence going all the way up past right the barn, and then everything else, panels. But, you know, if we could start this next year by purchasing $2,500 or $3,000 worth of panels, in 5 years, I think things would be paneled. And
well, in my opinion, I'd rather start by our first money going into the railroad ties in the way.
Yeah.
And get the perimeter fence up, because that's, if we have no perimeter, we have nothing.
Right.
And if you have the railroad ties, they're just more aesthetic looking as far as what we want in the permanent.
It really looks good, but basically, I mean, when I did this, I put a string out, I measured it, I leveled everything, you know, the tops of the railroad ties are, you know, within an inch of each other, you know, it looks really good. I've seen some railroad tie fences that are kind of just thrown together, and they don't look so good.
That?
Yeah.
What if I just gather some information?
But I think that entrance fence, the rails, where they're not really a heavily pressed fence, you know, not the corrals, that idea is perfect for that. We could have that be kind of our two standards. If we're going to do the railroad tie and board fence for the corrals, we're going to do the rail fences for the decorative kind of fences, entrance fences, and then we're going to do metal panels for
the inside
partitioning.
And another thing is the bulletin board there. Do I need permission to request people to help us with it and take responsibility for fixing that up and making it nice, or can we do that? Can I do that without permission?
You know what? Take the ball, run with it. I'm a total believer in when you delegate something, Kathy, I trust your judgment. My personal opinion is go for it.
Thank you.
You know,
all right.
Paul has some things there that I think he started that you may want to at least.
Oh, sure. I'll always check.
Matt has the pins on it.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful.
You know, so, but I think anything we can do to start, if we make the headquarters area look more like a ranch, it will do a lot to improve the whole atmosphere of the whole project.
Okay.
I've really done a lot to try and keep it.
Oh, and your archway that you've made over the water thing,
you know,
is
just
beautiful.
The fact that we got rid of the pallet fences is really
wonderful. Any comments, anything that is bothering any of you?
Yeah, the only thing that bothers me there to no end is that stupid fence that goes in front of the ranch house, along in front of the store, and along in front of the garden.
It's ugly, isn't it?
If it was up to me, I would have torched that thing a long time ago.
So do we want it out?
Yes.
Do we want it out? Do you want it out? How you feel about that, Dan?
I think, I just said, what are we going to put in its place?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
It ought to be a fence turtles.
Well, this is, when you look at this area here, it's not representative of what we're trying to say there. It's just broken down, and
it's wrong to begin with. It's still wrong.
And so, I mean
ideally, around the yard, and what's perfect for the vintage would be a whitewashed picket fence.
Exactly. I saw one with one bias.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even, you know, dog eared.
Mm-hmm.
It was just one bias. And it looked nice.
And it would look wonderful. But okay, let me do some research and see what kind of interest I can develop from other people and what they want to contribute.
That fence was put up to keep cows out of the garden, I think. Isn't that Beck said that did that?
It was a yard fence.
Yeah, it was just to
keep dogs in and keep
the cows out.
It does keep the snow from drifting.
Goats out or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, anything else you'd like focus on here?
You know what I don't. My personal opinion is you get rid of that one fence and we replace it with something nice, and I'm.
You're happy?
Really happy.
All right. All right, and I need, before for the budget, I need a count of how many doors we need. I've got two locations, and do we have to have the same kind of doors? I've got a door company in Salt Lake that will sell us mismatched. Didn't get picked up.
Come up to the ranch and take a look at the doors in the garden cabin. Take a look at the doors in cabin 6, 9, and 10.
So is that what we want?
We want, well, what we want is a fiber corridor, fiberglass corridor, because they'll last in that environment really well.
Yeah.
We want a windowed door.
Windowed, okay.
That has, I don't think it has to open. The window doesn't have to open, right?
No.
But we want a windowed door, some kind of fiber corridor, thermal true or whatever.
I don't know how to measure. Do you know how to measure for what kind of size I need to order for the doors?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you know how many doors we need, or do I need to come out and...
Everyone's a different measurement.
Right, that's right. I know that.
And you just need to measure what would be the rough opening.
Okay, and get close, and then you guys can...
Because every door we're going to get is a pre-hung frame that we would put in there. Right?
Okay.
Yeah.
That's the best way.
The company, the prices seem pretty good.
So basically, if it already has a door on it, and you measure just from inside a jam to inside a jam, and you add another inch and a half,
2 inches
to that,
then we're all right.
And that's your width.
We need about 11 or 12 doors.
And height, add 1 inch or 2 inches?
1 inch.
1 inch to the height. And that's going to be the level.
Are these doors that we need, so I need to put them in the budget, are they going to be necessary for in the next year, or is it 2 years we need 11 doors?
Well, over the next 10 years, we need 20 doors, so...
5 years, five a year, or I mean, there's a couple that...
I think it will fall out in the budget priority.
Yeah.
So we know that there's two that we really need right away.
Okay.
And...
Yeah, like Dirk says, if we look at it in the long run, so we're not trying to buy 10, 11, 12 doors in one time. We can just say over the next 20 years we're going to need 20 doors. Over the next 10 years we're going to need 20 doors. So we get two a year.
I'm just trying to get a picture for what kind of budget.
We want to do half of them this next year and half of them the following year?
I doubt it. We have to prioritize that.
How about that?
But basically this is what it'll come down to. You request 50 if you want to.
Yeah.
And then when we have our meeting, we're going to say, okay, we've got a budget of $360,000 and we only have revenue of $120,000. So what gets cut?
So I have to budget high so I get something. Is that it?
If we do one category,
you're welcome to do anything that you want as your things that you're passionate about.
Okay.
The budget process here, Kathy, just so you know, is simply to make you feel bad.
Okay. I can ask, I can beg, and then I can be told no. You have to tell me no to something, so I have to ask a little over what I want. I know,
There's no doors hanging off the hinges. I mean, the cabins are sealed.
Generally speaking, Kathy, I don't think that we'll find that Brent really wants one thing and you really want one thing. As a group, we've come to pretty good consensus.
Yeah. Okay.
And so, but the problem has been people not even remembering something to even put it in the budget, and then we get halfway through the year and say, dang it, we were going to do doors, and we don't have doors in the budget. So.
Okay, we'll get that. Okay, thank you. I'm excited.
Well, I'm glad you're excited, and I'm really pleased with your presentation.
Thank you.
Your pictures and all. And
that's the before, we're going to get the after.
Yeah, that's
right?
Just what I was going to suggest, date it. And take some new pictures and give pictures to Vance for the newsletters. And
I'm going to send a plea out for interests of areas of focus and see if we can get something.
I'm just happy you didn't get pictures of Mike naked and put them down there.
Yeah.
No.
It is his birthday.
It is his birthday. That's right. Yep.
Okay, anything else in Section 11? Okay, Section 12, Ben, road signs. The only thing I want to say is I'd like to pass this around, everybody look at it, is I think that our font is way too big. I think it should.
This is my road, guys.
It should match. For the most part, the ranch fonts and signs are like the two on top there. And we need to decide, are they yellow or are they white? What are the colors that we're going to do?
There's three different colors
now. My question is, why we've got so many important things up there,
I don't know what we need to
really, I can't even remember all who, but there were was a lot of issue with this, at least one sign, which is now done.
Is that my sign?
Yeah. But I think it's, well, is it my sign?
Yeah, it's quarter horse long.
But on the other hand, I just want to say, as a standard going forward, if we're putting up signs...
I did it. I know.
I don't want that to be our standard.
No, I don't either.
I think that it's pretty easy to show this picture to whoever made these could have made ones like the our other signs, which is kind of a BLM standard sign, you know,
dead end.
3-inch tall letters that are kind of a narrow letter, not a, mm-hmm. a fat font that are going to fit all on one board that's about 5 or 6 inches tall instead of a big billboard.
I was just going through a magazine the other day.
What's that?
I can save you a lot of concern if you'll let me explain it.
Sure. Go ahead.
Okay. The signs that were made on speculation. We weren't sure what size they were needed to be. And I took pictures of that same picture. And I also went around, took pictures all around the ranch. I went down and talked with him. And he made, this one is smaller. I don't know if you noticed that or not. This one is smaller.
Okay.
But anyway, it is. It's smaller than that. He brought it down and did that one. I brought it back to Ben. The idea for this sign was that it should be on a separate post, not on the bottom there. We did that.
Well, separate post or not, I still think we should be able to say the font is Arial font, 3 inches tall.
Right. And he'll do that.
3/4 inch wide.
He'll do that.
However rounded. And the best way to do that, I think, is like those two signs that are above it.
Yeah.
I think those are acceptable.
For dead end also?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Dead end could have been on the same post right underneath private drive.
Well,
it should have looked the same as the private drive sign, though.
I have a suggestion.
Mr. Belinsky gave him the measurement.
Yeah.
And he cut him down from what he got from him. So.
I have a suggestion. I was just going through a magazine the other day, and I found there's a it's a deal about this big, and it's a router, and you can actually make signs. It actually comes with certain kinds of bits.
You can do that, but he does this in like 5 minutes. This is so easy.
If we're going to look at signage, I mean, we're going to look at...
Well, I agree, like Dale, we're not going to look at signage. But in the rare one or two signs that go up every year, I'd like him to at least have consistency.
Where are all those signs that were made?
They're in the shop.
In the tool shed, are they still there? Can they be...
A lot of them, some of them's changed, some of them aren't there.
Can we let the people know that they're there and that they can have them and can go out on the news?
I've actually sent a couple out already.
Have you?
They've been told.
They have been told? Okay. You guys
those,
are being very
patient. Those signs have been there for a very long time.
So, can we measure...
I think those signs were a standard Forest Service Kinland. You're talking about Kinland,
right? Those are Kinland.
What they were?
Yeah, they're
the font and size. And let's stick with that as our default. We had a lot of discussion last time that we didn't want metal signs. We didn't want all these other things. We wanted wood signs. We just need to match that font, and we need to decide. Should they be yellow or white lettering?
What was the picture? What are they? What do we have now?
The BLM signs are all white.
Yeah, I myself personally, I like the white lettering. That's just me.
Thick.
We built a lot of these signs over in Cedar City. The Forest Service helped, and the lettering was white.
I think the white.
Size.
I like the white.
White means we don't have to match the exact hue.
Okay.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
I like white.
It's fresher looking.
So let's just make a decision. We're going to go with Forest Service type signs, white lettering, same as Kinland dimensions.
Okay,
for
great.
For the future.
I have a question. You mentioned the Forest Service. That Forest Service fence by the metal gate. Can we get help from them on that fence, or is that strictly us?
Don't think they'll touch it.
Okay.
Or they didn't when we put it in to begin with.
Okay.
By the way, that doesn't hurt my feelings. You're talking.
I know.
Okay.
So,
what was there and needed to be done.
Next item, ranch manager's report. Fencing, cattle guards we talked about. Fencing, I'd like to interject this at this time. This is a highly accurate map of the metal fence done by Taylor Button.
Down to the foot.
And kind of hold that up for everybody to see. The pink, see the pink color there, is the existing new fence. He will completely rebuild and fix that for $550, all of that. I say that's an easy decision to tell him to do that.
Why do you say that's a new fence?
Well, it was put in 10 years ago.
Yeah.
It was a totally new fence that he put in. Well, some of the other fences, even though they were new, he used materials and used wire and stuff. And so the blue at the top, the fence you just asked about, I don't know the dimension on it. So I guess that I am going to overlay this over an aerial, and then I'll be able to, by our budget date, have some more accurate information. But he has $2.15, I think, a foot for that.
Mm-hmm.
The blue. Where he says we just need total new fence there. Which I would agree with him. The other fence has been kludged and rotten, and at least that's his assessment. And that would probably be, if we're going to put new fence anywhere, I would suggest we do it where the blue areas are. That's probably the priority. If we had the pink all done and we had the blue all done and maybe that yellow corner, which I think he's got $1.95 for that because he thinks that just the three-wire
mm-hmm.
fence will be adequate for that area because it probably doesn't get much pushing. That would solve the majority of our problems. I'm going to work up some exact footages to get some exact numbers so that we have them to look at there. But those will be one of the things that I'll be throwing into the hat for consideration in our next year's budget. So I was pleased at least Taylor went up. I told him, look at it. Please recommend to me what you think you could just repair, what you think you could add to, what you think needs total replacement. And that's his assessment from that walking all the fence himself.
So we're going to vote on this next week at the budget? Or
as we get into the budget. Okay. It'll be 150 items.
Is the blue across the north end going to just be replaced with a wire fence?
Yeah.
Do you want to carry on even with the bowl like was originally there?
I think that it's a wire fence is good because it's not super visible, but maybe the first 100 feet up to the gate or something where it is real visible maybe would be really nice to do.
I think if you look at the budget, especially this year, and I know last year was the same thing, we had budgeted $5,000 and we didn't come close to using that. I think if, I don't know what this total bid would be, but I think, you know, we've budgeted for it for the last 2 years that I know of.
Well, what do you guys think about that north fence? Do you think it should be a rail fence? Or?
I can show you a couple of things.
Yeah.
Dirk, I would suggest, having watched it over a period of time, that a fence be put across here.
Right.
That eliminates two gates, traffic pattern for the ranch road, and there's nothing for cattle up at that end anyway. And
good idea.
Then the other thing is to take this fence here and get the owner of the property that next quarter of a mile, go straight up, probably eliminate this fence totally, and take this up to where you think it's totally safe with the cows. And the same thing either at this fence or the next one below it, run it from the meadow up behind, below cabin one, as high as you want to go up in there. And I think you have a lot less wire, and I think it would eliminate a lot of cattle pressure and fence repair by modifying this drawing to put this one across here and this one up higher, eliminate this, and down either this fence or the next fence, come across to let the mountain stop the cattle. And I think if you look at that, you can sit in your car and look at the upper corner that I'm thinking of. There's a white pipe up there, and I don't think cattle would ever touch it.
Right.
And the same thing is true coming across below cabin. Get as close to cabin one as you can to include that much more in our grazing area. But I think it's much less footage of fence and much more effective from a livestock management standpoint. I like this idea of this along the road. I think that's a no-brainer. Yeah. I have a check for $500. And
I'm like, holy cow. Yeah. Okay.
Is this where it goes off into Zion Park? Is that
yeah.
kind of thing?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The,
along the west side there, the north side, the reason the fence is there is it's right along the road that's at the west side on the left there.
Yeah, okay.
Would we have to cut a new fence trail up through there?
No, he's the one that's there now, up that far.
And then just go a little further.
Quarter of a mile on the higher.
Okay, right below Cameron.
No, this is completely
residential.
Yeah, it's all over that way.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
This makes sense.
I think if you cut a trail, then the cows will follow it right to the end of the fence.
Right.
So it's best to probably, without making a big trail, just keep going straight into the brush.
Hmm.
Well, another test on that, that gate above the Red Reservoir was not closed all summer.
Yeah.
There wasn't much traffic up there either. So even though there was a road, open gate, we didn't have a lot of pressure up in there. So I think that Taylor's good at that as far as putting the fence on up through and making the least vegetative change.
We talked about it one time maybe having a trail or a road that went all the way up there. Have you ever, was that just...
Up on to the high point?
Yeah.
No.
That was just kind of a wild idea.
Well, it was a great idea, and it should be. But I think that it's more of a foot trail. I've taken a group across there. We looked at it, talked about it, and I think that...
So you're talking much higher than the...
Yeah, I'm talking right on top of the entire ridge.
Redwood down to there also.
Do you go all the way to that ridge overlooking
yeah.
what meadow?
Yeah, I totally agree with you, Dale. I think that's a nice foot trail. Make it into a nice foot
I think
trail.
There's some things that you could do, but as far as a horse trail, you get up on there and you can see Bryce and Zion. And
that's beautiful.
Mount Trumbull.
Could you make that a horse trail, or are you talking not horses, just feet?
Oh, I think it's good for a horse trail. Okay.
Yeah, it would be a wonderful horse trail.
Maybe an ATV trail, but a foot trail and a horse, no question. Maybe go ahead and do it as an ATV.
If we could get it started as foot and horse.
But I'd like to see a drawing. In fact, an architect was at my house today wanting to do some drawings.
Show me what that is.
And
going down right through here.
Okay, the pipeline's up here.
Okay. pipelines up this way.
Okay. So we just
Okay. All right. So that's kind of that. Good suggestions, Dale. I will modify this and spend a little time with Taylor on that. And, you know, one of our problems is Paul's going to get the fish ponds, the integrity there with the cattle guard, and then that will give some protection against the spring and stuff for cows getting in there. But the fish ponds will be a fenced-in area. This is a fenced-in area, but we really don't have any good control at all of the area in the middle. And
if we look at
building fences here, maybe it would be better to work out that whole thing.
I think you look at that in-between thing, there's some excellent grazing area of pasture.
Right.
Lots of paint.
And I think that we could get it fenced in the same budget.
Okay, good.
Well, on the one side, it's fenced halfway up already.
Right. But, you know, you just can't maintain cows in there now.
Right.
And I like the idea of just cutting the top of the metal off here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's actually a really great idea.
We can leave the old fence there for its aesthetic purpose.
Well, it could be reestablished with either a quakey or a pole. It's not a cattle control fence. It's just a bound up fence.
Yeah.
It would look nice, but it's not getting cattle pressure like it is now.
All right. Yeah, that'd be good. Okay.
Water systems.
Water systems.
We already talked about the PRVs installed.
The intersection.
Everything's been running good. I did send tests in, investigative tests on the water, and gotten her results back, and they've come back negative for anything. I think this next week we're putting that vault in. That should wrap that up. The berm on the tank, I just want to get your guys' view on this. I thought of putting some kind of seal on the tank, but I know there's a thick coating on there already. Do you think that would keep the rust out for a long period of time, or do you think eventually we're going to have to move some dirt out and coat that again?
I think we will never move dirt out unless we have a problem.
Right.
I mean, I know that tank's really thick, but,
I know,
10 years from now, enough water going down around that tank.
Well, I think it would keep it properly drained.
Mm-hmm. I just wanted your guys' view. I mean, I'm not...
It would have been a view to ask that question and to do something about it beforehand, but we will do more damage trying to get the dirt away from it, and then we'll bend the tank, and then it'll pock out the paint on the inside because we hit it with the backhoe. And
right.
It just, I do like basically the way most of the dirt is shaped now, especially on the west side where,
it's sloped really nice.
It's sloped nice.
Water's going to run away from it.
I think
the south end, there still needs to be a insulated doghouse.
We talked about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then the north end, that drain line to connect over to the overflow tank.
Yep.
We talked about it, and then we decided that we weren't going to do either of those.
Yeah, I think there is enough dirt there that I can kind of push it down enough to cover it. But I think there is enough dirt on both sides that I don't think it'll. There's no drafting going on now. It's beautiful. It's nice.
I represented your concerns really well, but I got vetoed.
About the water system, as of right now, everything's flowing good.
Great. There's one other item I would like to bring up on the ranch manager's report with some great hesitation, but I just can't sleep tonight unless I bring it up. Pavilion. In the fish pond. This is a map of the fish pond. Do you guys recognize this map?
It's very good. You would have been a good pirate.
And so, this is the fish pond. This is kind of some willows and stuff growing there. This is the road going in.
this is where Paul's going to put his new cattle guard. I kind of envisioned the pavilion being here, and when I went up there and I see it's kind of back here, I have concerns because basically all the grass that's in between there is going to be driven on a lot and stuff like that, and I more thought the pavilion would be, you know, within 50 feet of the pond and close enough to the road that would just nose off of the road, like, say, 50 feet away instead of driving clear back here. And I think this area is kind of prone to be soggy. And I know that it's kind of the gravel's there, but it's not a huge deal to bucket the gravel and move it. And I really think this is way too far away from the pond and way too far back, and that it needs to be up here. But I'm looking for calibration on this subject.
I absolutely don't disagree with you, and the truth of the matter is because we have to make some major changes in the footings on it, because we thought we were just doing a slab on grade.
It would be easier to do that footing stuff in another place and then put the gravel in it.
Yeah.
Change the footing into what Paul has already got is going to destroy it anyway.
You remember our conversation about this. Nobody knew where to put it. It was odd to put it over there. I kind of picked a spot.
Is that where Lamb's dumped?
No, he dumped up by the spring. I had to bucket it all down. But, I thought just the opposite. You know, people would park here and the pavilion's there, not thinking that the pavilion could be up here and people would park on the other side. I mean, it's...
I think, to get coolers out of cars and other things, you need to park fairly close to it. But, if we're going to have kind of kids playing in the ponds and stuff, it ought to be close to the ponds. But
how far are we talking?
It's pretty far. I mean, I put it far back.
This is
it's to scale.
This is about 50 feet, so this is maybe about...
So where's the tree line? Is the tree line way at the back there?
All tree lines.
Way back there?
Yeah.
Okay.
And this is kind of a little cold, but it's almost a little sunken, too, because there's a dike above it there, and I think you kind of feel a little bit like you're in a hole, but I just had the feng shui for it didn't work for me.
I had thought on the other side of the road might be pretty good too.
This side?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like it here by the pond.
There's actually water there too.
Right.
It's in the ground, and when the tank's full, it kind of overflows.
Yeah, right.
That's
what this is. Water. Tap.
Okay.
Well, from a feng shui perspective, I agree with Dirk.
So it's not that big of a deal to move it then?
Well, the truth of the matter is we were going to have to dig a whole bunch of it up anyway, because we've got the way the engineer drew it up is we have to tie all of our posts together, and the simple fact of the matter is we set it up to be a slab on grade, and that's not going to work. So we got to dig it up anyway, and the amount of work involved in, we could go out and dig the trenches the way we need to do, get everything, bring that gravel in later and, do it right.
So are we still building to this scale? Is this still the...
Yeah.
The scale and everything's going to stay the same, but the problem is that the engineer changed the footings on us, and we have to follow what the engineer said.
Right now it's all compacted as a flat slab on grade, 4 inches thick.
And this
is changed. It has to be 10 inches thick at the edges, and it has to have cross cuts through to
tie every single column together, so,
and it has to be rebarred that way. And
okay,
there's some we've gone through it, Brent and I, plenty. But let's try to move it then.
Did you get blue fire for that?
Do we need a motion for that, or are we just going to?
We don't need a motion.
Okay.
So just so you know, the building inspector was out in the spring the other day, and so.
Any other items under second item 11?
I want to bring something up.
We got some interesting counting going on.
I'd like to bring something up.
ABC.
Yeah.
I don't know why I got this, but it was talking about the upper system, the upper water system.
Right.
Did you see this?
No.
Well, it talks about that system's in violation because we didn't send it a sample.
Yeah, you mentioned that just now.
Kind of a serious thing. I don't know.
Well, call, talk to them, see what's going on. Explain to them we weren't. I mean, it's a seasonal system, experimental, whatever. Investigative system, and see what why they sent us that letter. And let's, you know, respond to it. So I think we need to research what the issue is, and we don't want to be losing points because of something there. But if they're kind of trying to force us, like Dale said, is concerned about, into a fully regulated system, then we'll have to wander down those paths. So please follow through with that.
Paul?
Yeah.
I have a letter in front of me dated June 24th of 2004 where the state of Utah Department of Environmental Quality reclassifies Deer Springs North as non-public.
Right.
I quote, "This means the division's rules do not currently apply to this system." So the only reason I can think of that they'd be after you now is that they've changed the rules.
Well, I think what's happened is Paul has turned in some samples, and then he didn't turn in some samples, and so they've just assumed, oh, what?
Hey, well, he needs this letter, then.
Right. Can you email him a copy of that?
You bet. Will do.
That would be helpful to have when you talk to him.
Right. I mean, I've talked to him. I can talk to Terry.
I mean, I'm going to assume right now it's just a simple mix-up.
Okay.
Yeah.
They probably figured that everybody that sends samples in has an approved system or something.
Right.
Okay, I'll get it off to him. Thanks.
Anything else under second item 11? Okay, item 12. Discussion items, fuel usage. Paul, I asked Linda to put this on the agenda. Some concern about we're buying fuel up there, but then we've recently got quite a few charges in town, and something about fuel gauges working or not working. What's going on? What do we need to be doing?
Well, right when I bought the truck, the fuel gauge isn't working.
This is the diesel.
Should be some warranty with this previous motor.
Yeah.
It is a warranty. It ran out when it left my property.
and then also, we have red diesel at the house.
Yeah, which is appropriate to put in that truck.
It is now that I registered the truck as a farm vehicle. It wasn't before.
Agreed.
And that was the only reason. And it was for about 2 weeks before I got it insured and registered. So now...
Now you'll be putting...
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the case, Dirt? They used to check your carburetor, and if it was colored,
yeah,
they're on the highway.
And they may check that, but it's registered as a farm vehicle.
It is registered now as a farm vehicle. I actually got the plates on there and everything. But
if you put it on a highway vehicle with red fuel, it's an instant $50,000 fine.
It's a what?
Big one.
$50,000 fine.
Running the highway with
With red fuel in a highway vehicle.
Oh, yeah. I have talked to Danny Button. He says about $80 he can get a sending unit and fix the fuel gauge.
Okay, get her done.
Yeah. Next year? Or now?
Hey, yeah, Paul, you can go 700 miles or more in that truck with the tank and all that. I mean,
wait till December.
Next year is fine.
Yeah. Second.
Okay. Next year.
No, I mean it's not like the oil pump's gone out on it or something.
Right.
Yeah.
Next item, sell a ranch vehicle. So we bought that truck and we needed to sell the others. What's our update on that?
I'm gonna bring the old ranch truck into town and swap tires with the new ranch truck, the dually tires, and set it out here for sale. I've actually been using it because it has the compressor and the generator on it, and it's a little easier to load that in and out. When I've been winterizing the cabins and blowing all the water out. I had a thought And it was just a thought about instead of paying my...
Now, there are two trucks that need to be sold, right? And you gave us some prices on...
$500 for the four and $25 for the...
Right. Are you talking about the $2,500 one right now?
Yeah.
So, and you mentioned originally you thought you had a lead, but apparently that didn't pan out.
I've been online, and $2,500 for that truck is pretty steep. I'm going to list it for $2,500.
Well, let's get it on KSL.com.
Yeah, put it on KSL.
Okay.
And, which I think is probably going to do a lot more than parking it down here, but it probably would be nice to have it parked somewhere where people can see it.
Right.
If you can leave keys here in the office, then we can accommodate if somebody wants to start it and drive it around.
Mm-hmm.
But we really need to get that sold, because we had no budget to make this work unless sold. So that's part of us getting through the end of the year. So let's make that happen this week if you can. And then the $500 truck, what do we need to do with that one?
I need an alternate.
KSL.com too?
Yeah, probably.
I think the best thing to do with that truck is to simply put it on KSL.com as a parts truck. Because that's what somebody's going to use it for.
Yeah.
And you know, we put it on there for $500 as a parts truck. The axles and transmission and engine alone, I mean, they're worth, you know, easily worth $500. And somebody's...
Yeah, you can just put, you know, alternator currently not working.
Right. Yeah, I wouldn't do anything to fix it. I'd just simply put it on there and say, it's a parts truck, non-running, well, you know.
Have you listed that on KSL before?
I haven't been
simple. I haven't either.
I have.
Mike does a lot of things for you. He can list it down for you. Yeah. He's in fact, he's got three things on it right now.
You download your pictures on their site. You type your description. You know, it's very user friendly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And it's a wide audience.
It seems to be the best for Utah.
Mm-hmm.
So
Utah, Wyoming, Nevada, Arizona. I mean, you get things from all over.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Painting.
That should be on there.
Okay.
That's for next meeting.
Updates on county zoning. Dale, can you tell us what happened in the meeting after I left?
We were there a long time. It was 10 o'clock when we got out. They went back to the agenda items. There's five items that they'd put on the agenda. Number one was a matrix. Number three was a 2-acre parcel. Number five, I think, was things built within so many miles of town. And they really pressed on item number one to approve that matrix. And we refused to do it. And so that finally died. 2, 3, 4, and 5 were all approved, believing that number five on this, how close to a community, is an item for the general plan, and so it didn't make a whole lot of difference. But I think, so when they ended up, they decided that we would have a special work meeting and go out and see this primitive camp out east of town, and at that time they spend 2 or 3 hours on the matrix. And
why is there such a hard time just understanding a few of those things? For example, even logging.
It's stupid.
You know, my mom has a cabin up there above Manti and some of those forest places that are kind of like Duck Creek. And the whole association hired a logging company to come in and harvest all the diseased trees and hazardous trees. And, you know, they're like 1-acre lots or something like that. But if the trees are there and they need to be harvested, why would you put in the ordinance that you can't do it?
Well,
I mean,
the new commissioners, that can be changed. It's just wrong. So you put a creamery? How many creameries are there in King County?
Yeah.
How many golf courses could you put on a 2-acre lot? These riders on this chart that they have.
Golf courses are not allowed on a 2-acre lot.
I think it is. I think a golf course is.
Oh, is allowed.
Is allowed on a 2-acre lot.
Must be a mini one.
I'm going to have 10.
just one stupid thing after another.
I really had the impression, which is why I finally left the meeting, that they just wanted to get something through before the new commissioners came on, because they knew that they could get something through now, and they knew that they couldn't get something through once that change had happened. But I know Doug is not going to support it, but he may get outvoted. So I'm glad that you, and I couldn't understand. Gary kept saying, we need to get something in place. Well, then why don't you back off a few of these obvious things and put something in place, lean towards this side, and then come back and say, did we really need something for golf courses and logging and
creameries?
And they even had, for example, public utilities required a conditional use permit on about every property. And we're like, why? Can't we easily make a decision right here, I asked them, to take that off, you know? I mean, is there any reason why that should be on?
Who are these people?
Authority. So Jim Baker kind of then went on a 15-minute rampage about, well, we got to look into these things, we got to go by case law, we got to, you know, and I'm like, holy cow. Again, why? No utility company is going to come before you expecting a conditional use permit to put a water line across the front of somebody's lot. They have to have an easement, but I don't know. So I'm glad you... I think in general, the group there now, there's probably four members of the group that are not going to...
go with Jim or with Gary.
Yeah, but those two are pretty tough cookies. So I think it results in a lame duck or you know, a group that can't move forward because, you know, of the views. But I'd rather have them not moving forward than like it was moving forward with
they wanted to go ahead and move forward, and then we'll correct it later. Some of us said, no, we're not going that route.
That's great. I'm really happy to hear that. I appreciate your help there and the comments that you made. Dale's, for those that might know, is now a member of the Planning and Zoning, as well as Dale Spencer, who's a rancher and good advocate, and Wade Heaton, who seems to be pretty
sharp.
So you got three new members. And I think Tony
Gillespie
is pretty solid. So you got those four, and
Roger Chamberlain next to me there should come to the party, but he's been in there for 10-15 years.
I've talked to him privately enough that I'm really surprised.
Yeah,
but I know I can't count on him, and. You know, he's probably not unreasonable, though, like Gary and Jim. And then Tom Forsythe, who generally seems to have always been gone in these discussions, so I don't know exactly where he sits.
It's okay.
Well, we know. But that's the personalities that we're dealing with. And we need to have some good land rights advocates on that board. And that's, for example, one of the discussions that we had was gravel. Should we be allowed to use gravel? And the zone that they were talking about, Deer Springs Ranch represents maybe a third to a half of all of the properties that would be within this category, just by looking at their map. So by far the biggest group of landholders, and they're there continuing to say that they're doing this to protect adjacent lot owners, and we said, look, our association has decided this. So don't protect us from ourselves. We feel that we should be able to use gravel resources where they're available. We'll regulate that within our association. Dale Spencer said, yeah, that he, for example, had gravel resources on his ranch and didn't think that it was appropriate that every time he went and got a bucket of gravel, you know, that he should be coming in for a conditional use permit.
Mm-mm.
And, but still, there was absolutely no budging of Gary or Jim on that
mm-hmm.
item. They really felt strongly that, you know, in order to protect adjacent landowners, and would say things like, if I was adjacent to that, I sure wouldn't want that. And I'm like, well.
You know, I can't speak to what they're thinking, but the simple fact of the matter is that if you just take our main gravel pit as an example, how many years has that been there, Dale?
15.
Okay, so it's been there for 15 years.
But there's one down at Slide Canyon where the windmill is, it's been there for 50 years.
My point being is most of the members of Deer Springs Ranch, because of the turnover, know that that gravel pit was there when they bought their property. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And you know, we're regulated by the BLM. You know, they tell us how many acres of disturbance we can have there. We coordinate with them how many yards of material we take off every year. We've already put restrictions on our own members as well, how many yards they can take. I mean, how much more do we need anybody else regulating that for us? No.
Well, and the point is, I tried to make the point to them, landowners can regulate themselves through deed restrictions. The county does not need to take that role on. You know, if a group of landowners don't want something to happen, the county doesn't need to be the one that ensures that doesn't happen. They can always get together and add deed restrictions or modify them or do whatever, you know. It's not the county's role to protect everything from everything. And so we're making headway. We'll keep making headway. We've stalled off some of the things that are hazardous. They have agreed, even in this matrix, they didn't fight the second dwelling issue, which was a big deal for us. They had in this proposed matrix that a second dwelling would be allowed. And I know a lot of our members were concerned with that. So we're down to debating over just a few things, like logging activities and gravel pit, and utility lines and things like that. So we're making some headway, but we still need to keep working on it with a pretty good amount of vigor. Next item up. Update on county roads. I don't know that we need a lot of update. We're maintaining roads now.
Should we take that one out?
Yeah. There's still the state sections that are going through litigation, but I got to believe, I mean, I looked at them again today. It didn't look to me like they had stopped the maintenance right there at those signs and started it again, but
there's a couple places where they have, but and it's more really more prevalent on the other side of Lake Wash.
They're not real bad sections to begin with, luckily.
Now, are they out of money? Is that why they haven't done anything with it?
No, it's because the areas that used to be state land, state trust land, that were traded out to BLM, wherever those roads cross through those sections, the BLM has still not given permission.
Right.
So on the Scootum Park Road, there's like 35 miles, and there's like about 5 miles of it that they have not consented to allow the county to have title to.
No, I mean, when I was talking about money, I mean, I've seen the blade there once. I think they went through twice, but
they're maintaining it as much as they feel
right.
Needs to.
Are they talking about bringing in material or next year?
I don't know.
I just get people come in and say, you know, can I go over the road? It doesn't look like it, but I tell them it's a lot better than it was.
Well, the road looks as good as it looked 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
I mean, it's not a paved road,
right.
But I don't see I drove my Honda Civic on it 50 miles an hour pretty much all the way today, and my head didn't hit the ceiling anymore. I mean, that's progress.
Yeah, it's a lot nicer.
Corrections for deed restrictions. Add this up to Ben's section. Ben is now working on that under legal. The very last item here.
Mm-hmm.
And we're ready for executive session if there's nothing else.
So you would be here?
I would entertain such a motion.
I move we adjourn.
Second?
You have that sticky note, did you?
I covered it.
Okay.
You,
no second. Sorry.
There was something that you wanted to remind Vance about.
You second it.
No, I didn't.
Oh, I second it.
Wasn't there something that you wanted to remind Vance about?
Yeah.
I got it, Paul. I wrote it down about the map.